All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Better Than Never.
Shit.
I'm not actually inside a women's prison at the moment.
The horniest just went up to like 11.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to say a big fuck you to Nick.
Tyler Yaremchuk must go to Cinco de Mayo.
Ty, we're answering this down. No time. No time. If there's one thing better than making memories, it's sharing new ones. Alberta Blue Cross Travel Insurance protects your memories and more wherever travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel. I'm excited today. It's December 27th. I've got a guest in my house. Jean shorts. Hello.
What's up, guys? You know what time it is.
It's showtime.
It's always showtime.
I've been excited to do this one for a minute because we have ridiculous conversations always.
True. Mm-hmm.
You came home for Christmas.
I did.
And I figured, why not put some of this stupidity on tape and post it to the internet?
So people can hold it against us later in a court of law.
See what happens. I don't want to be prime minister anyway, so I'm going to crack one of these beers.
Ooh, finally. Okay. I'm very thirsty.
Tis the season. So we're going to call this one Two Beers with Jean Shorts. I'm excited. These are tall boys, so it's kind of like three beers. It is what
maybe even four, really.
This is the first time you've kind of been in the little studio I've made in my house.
I have slept in this room before, but not when it was a studio.
Yeah, I needed to set up an office. Pandemic things, you know?
Yeah.
But I got what I was saying before we started recording is when I got this Rodecaster, there's voice filters on it. And like, if I push this button, unfortunately, I don't have headphones for you, but it really doesn't matter.
I push this one and I sound deep voice. And it reminds me of from the Blink Live album, when Satan comes in. So I always say that Satan chimes in on the podcast.
And when I was testing it out, I was calling my old man and I was just fucking around with it because I was blocking my number from outgoing. So he's the kind of guy who still phone rings, you answer it. That's just the way it goes. So I was having so much fun with those voice filters, just kind of like breaking his balls, and he would get mad after a while. Like, who is this? Who is this?
Get off this line.
Yeah, more or less. And it's just kind of fun to have all this shit that probably don't really need.
Fun fact, guess what one of the things I got for Christmas was?
Go ahead.
An album version, the vinyl version of Mark, Tom, and Travis Show.
That is a good album.
It's a very good album.
That
I
is good.
It for a while.
I listened to it a little while ago on just Apple Music. Some of the jokes probably don't fly anymore.
No. That's with a lot of things that we used to love.
Before we started recording, I was upstairs just at my house, and I'm rewatching The Office. So I set a rule for myself that if I'm doom scrolling Netflix for 15, 20 minutes, I'll just put The Office on. Rewatching it. Early seasons are great. I'll cut out at Bobby California.
Sure.
But even
Sabre.
Then. some of those early episodes are just like outrageous.
Yeah, we watched we just watched Benihana Christmas at work the other day.
Great.
Like, yeah, great episode. But they were like, they did it because like none of the executives were in this week, so they were like, okay, we can just kind of slide this one under the radar. No one has to know. You know, invite only kind of thing. And like, they're just like, okay. And like, before they played it, they were like, I feel like most of you have probably already seen this before, but some things may have not have aged very well. And it is one where, Michael does confuse two Asian women.
Yes.
Though they look nothing alike.
So yes.
There's a, there are quite a few things. And it was not even that long ago. That's from like 2008 or something like that.
Which yes. I guess really is, not that long ago.
I guess it is a long time ago. It doesn't feel as long.
On the
as
macro
as
level, not
yeah,
so
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the celestial level.
He marks one of their arm, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Not great.
No.
Not great.
No.
By 2023 standards.
No.
Last year you missed Christmas here.
I did. Act of God.
Is it weird being home and there's absolutely no snow?
It's, yes. I mean, no complaints here. Like the weather obviously has been very nice. I mean, I don't drive when I'm here, but it is nice just when other people are chauffeuring me around. I'm like, oh,
sure.
The roads are nice and clear.
Sure.
And everything. But it's been... It is weird, like, looking around and there's no snow anywhere. Like
it's just brown.
Yeah, like, my dad lives kind of out in the country a bit, and, like, his backyard looks onto just nothing but, like, kind of field and trees. And usually it's just beautiful. Everything's covered in snow.
Majestic,
like,
even.
Oh, awesome. And now everything is just brown or gold. It looks kind of gold if you look at it in a certain sunlight. But nothing about this Christmas has felt like Christmas, even like leading up to it for some reason. Even back in Vancouver, I was like, it was like 2 days before I was supposed to leave, and I was like, oh, I'm supposed to fucking get on a plane for Christmas, huh? That's weird. Like, it just snuck up on me. And then, yeah, coming back here, and it's, you know, the weather is palatable.
Very nice.
And there's no snow anywhere. It's been very strange.
Like, I know it's probably, again, don't fucking hit me up when I say I'm loving this again, because every time I say I'm like, I'm thriving with no snow,
yes.
It's like, oh, well, what about when forest fire? I'm like, I know.
I like to ski. There's no snow, and I like to ski.
I did get a bunch of that. Yeah, I did get a bunch of that. And yeah, there's ice fishing.
You know who you are, and you do not ever take a day off.
Listen, I like skiing too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But you know what I like more is plus temperatures, yeah, that I can just live my life.
Yeah, not having to shovel the fucking sidewalk or the driveway.
Yeah, I haven't shoveled once.
Scrape off
it's
the
great
windows, yeah.
No scraping.
Yeah.
You know?
Who wouldn't like this? Yes, we will be on fire in the summer, but we will deal,
yes,
we will cross that
problem.
Bridge when we come to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird. But you got here late last week, went out with our boyfriends on...
yeah, we did.
It's weird to think that, I think it was our boy Travis Dakin said it was 6 years since we had all been together. Like, people had seen each other kind of individually.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's weird.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
But then also, it doesn't feel like that long because everything is just flat circle.
And because that's what you're saying. Like, the last, like, 3 into 4 years don't really count, I don't think. Like,
no.
Like, I didn't get to come back for Christmas 2020 because of obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So that one doesn't even count, I don't think. That one didn't even really exist for anybody, I don't think. COVID Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was nice. It was like super cool. And it is weird because, you know, our friend Matt tends to be in California at his fucking parents' fuck off giant mansion in the Laguna Hills.
Yes.
Which we're all very jealous of. And we have an open invite. We all just got to make it down there at some point. And yeah, Eric was in town. Our friend, the actor Eric Johnson.
Very handsome as always.
Oh, handsome as ever. Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
Him and his wonderful wife were in town.
Mm-hmm.
The Towel Boys, I mean, they never miss a party. They're if you send out the signal, they are going to be there. But yeah, it was cool. It was so nice to see everybody.
It was nice to see everybody. It was nice to get, well, I mean, we got banged up. Me misses.
Of course. We went and saw Rick at the Pint, so of course.
Yeah, me misses when we got home. It was probably, I'm going to say, 2:30-ish, roughly. I was just like, you just have a water in Advil, you know? She goes, no! And then the next
don't tell me what
days,
to do.
2 days. She was immobile.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. So I didn't think even we got into it that hard. Like, we got into it, but like, it was pretty.
I think her problem, though.
Historically speaking, we were pretty okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think her problem, though, is that she has like the sweetest possible drinks on the menu.
Right, right, right.
Because at some point she ordered another diabetes. And I'm looking around the table at kind of who's drinking what. To compare notes,
yeah.
We had like some Jameson and soda.
Yeah.
There was a gin and tonic. I was drinking pressed rums.
Yeah.
You were drinking beers. There wasn't a lot of sugary drinks going around, except in the one zone.
Yeah, those will get you in trouble. Every time those will get you in trouble.
2 day hangover in your 30s, you know? It's rough. It is rough. But it was great. It was good. It's always fun to see everybody. And then Christmas happened. Did you get anything good?
I got a new Connor McDavid jersey.
Ooh, the, which one?
Heritage Classic alternate or whatever. I don't know even know what to call it. The Heritage Classic one.
Yeah,
yeah. It was cool. It was super surprising because I did.
They're cool.
I haven't asked for a jersey in forever. And it just kind of showed up. And I was like, holy shit. And it's like the authentic ones, like the fight straps and everything like that. I've never had one like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always had like the one step down where
sure. It's
still $200, but it's like still an entry. So I was like, oh my God, thank you. And the funniest thing was my dad was like, "Dad, yeah, I tried to get you Darnell Nurse, but they didn't have any." I was like, no, we're good. This is way better.
Because you do have a Darnell Nurse jersey.
I do have a Darnell Nurse jersey, yes. But I was like, no, McDavid is much better. Thank you. So I think history will look a little better on this one, I think, over time than perhaps the Darnell Nurse one will. But we never know.
So I took my dad to the Heritage Classic.
Yeah.
And it was fun because we don't normally go to that many things like that together, but I was just like, this is one of those ones where I just want to take the old man. Yeah. It'll be fun to sit outside and whatever. The best part of the day is that it started at around 0 degrees and then dipped to like -5. Not cold, but if you're sitting outside for 4 hours, it's cold.
Yeah.
So the entire time we're sitting at Commonwealth before the game starts, he's looking around. He goes, "That guy's going to be cold." We're sitting on the bus and one of the guys that works for us, his name's Waz, was sitting there with just a hoodie and a jersey on. My dad looks at him. He goes, "You know that guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "He's going to be cold." And then later during the game, they posted a video of Waz running up and down the stairs of Commonwealth because he was trying to keep warm.
Right, of course.
But for the 30 minutes before, "That guy's going to be cold." He's only got a hat on. He's going to be cold.
Ivan's been around for a long time. He knows.
He knows.
He can spot it. There's like that commercial. I don't even know what it's for, but they're like, where the lady keeps on going, "You're not going to have room for that. There's not going to be enough room." That's what he was doing. He was like, "You're going to be cold. You're
going to
be cold."
Right too, damn it.
100% he was. Yeah. He knows.
Well, I was dressed warm. Have to. It's weird though. Outdoor games are weird. Can't really see anything.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of there for Nickelback.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
really there for Nickelback, but you're totally there for Nickelback.
What a band that is. Hey, like I've always been willing to defend Nickelback.
Sure.
But like, pretty wild that in 2023 they're still like headlining outdoor games and stuff like that. And I mean, that's always been my one kind of thing to people when they're like, "No, Nickelback." It's like, hey man, like, say what you will, they've been selling out arenas around the world since 2001. Like, Silver Side Up came out in 2001, and that's when they blew up, and they have not stopped on that. They've been at that level the entire time. They never dipped down to like the Smash Mouth level where they become like a
R.I.P.
Steve what's his face, whatever.
R.I.P.
rest in peace
Pop.
But they never hit that level where like they're like a novelty act at like the Stampede or Klondike Days or something, or sorry, what is it called now, the X,
yeah,
the
something like X. That
it's K-Days, but they've never,
I think they're back to K-Days but not the Klondike.
Oh, okay.
Just K-Days.
Right.
Okay. We don't get the fun outfits and stuff, I think. But then we went, so me misses loves, so she's a few years younger than us, but she likes a lot of the same bands we do. So, except Mariana's Trench.
Wait, she likes it or she doesn't like it?
She does. Okay. So, my first post-COVID show was Mariana's Trench.
Ooh,
at K-Days.
Oh, interesting.
So, she goes, "I'm going to go to K-Days and watch." I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm down for some live music. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
So, we go to K-Days and all I remember thinking is like, this is so expensive.
Is it?
Yeah, because I'm drinking Caesars, not doubles, and they're $16.
Fuck, yeah.
I can... What are all these kids doing?
Yeah. Well, they don't drink anymore, right? I think like that's the whole thing.
We were talking about that at the bar the other night.
Like, anyone in their 20s now, like, they just don't drink, which, like, good for them. Like, it's probably the smarter thing to do. And, like, we were also just talking about how we don't really drink a lot very often in our own time anymore. But, like, yeah, I can't imagine... Like, we were talking about that earlier today with a couple other buddies, like 25-cent draft at Cowboys.
Oh, we talk about that a lot.
On Thursday, was it Thursday nights?
Thursday nights.
And like, no place would do anything remotely like that. It would be like $5.
I think the cheapest Rick told us that is $3, I think, legally is the cheapest you could sell something for. I think.
Wow. And that's, yeah.
I could be fucking that up too, though.
So I can just like trying to think back to like working part-time at Save-On, making like what, $600 a week or whatever, and like going to school, like how would you like, I can barely afford to go out now, and I have like a pretty decent job, and like it's ridiculous. So you're spending $60-$80 just to go out for dinner and a couple drinks. Like, it's ridiculous. So I can't imagine being 20 and making, you know, whatever, $13 an hour, and like trying to go out and have more than like a beer or two because that's all you could afford.
Or if you like have legitimate responsibilities and that's what you're working through, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cause like I was doing kind of, we went out on Friday night. That was the night the Oilers beat the Rangers. doing kind of like my banking check-in later the day of. And I went, like, I know it was me and Mrs. or whatever. So there's two people, and I'm sitting there looking like, I didn't drink that much.
Yeah.
And I ate wings.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. I mean, everything's been on Visa so far, and I haven't gone out often, but I just still don't, even like the two nights that I've gone out so far, I do not want to check that fucking bill when I get home because it's going to be nasty.
That's awful.
Even just lunch at the brew house was like $60.
Yeah.
We went for lunch. I had three ciders and a fucking chicken burger, like $60.
So we're going to go out for dinner a little bit later. You bought me a hilarious Christmas present that I'm going to talk about. I don't know how we're going to explain this joke that's 20 years old to a podcast with people who don't know what we're talking about, but
they'll get it. They'll get it.
But I was thinking, I was like, yeah, like we're going to go for dinner. We're going to have a couple of drinks and it's going to be fun. And you know, we got another buddy who's probably going to come out and see us and just, everything's crazy.
I know. It's nuts. $21 for a fucking hamburger at a restaurant.
And I also feel like I'm turning into my old man live as we're talking.
I know, but like, no, like I've like, it's tough to fathom just how much prices have gone up, even over the last like what, three years, 5 years.
Yeah.
And like everyone's using like the COVID.
And you're in Vancouver.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's just fucking, yeah. And like all these businesses are still trying to use like the COVID excuse or whatever. And like supply chain, which is like, okay. But like at a certain point, like, when are we going to hit this peak where like no one can afford to even go out anywhere ever?
I think we're getting close, aren't we?
We're getting there. We're fucking getting there.
You know,
like with like, you know, especially with entertainment, like you got everything at home now. Like I bought a projector a couple months ago, so I'm
ooh,
like,
how's that?
Oh, it's the best thing I've ever bought. I've wanted a projector forever. And yeah, it's like,
how big do you get it to go?
I don't know officially, but it's like at least 110 inches, I think.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, oh yeah. So it's just, it's on like the back wall at the foot of my bed, so I just lay in bed and just like the entire wall is just like a giant screen.
That's good living. Oh,
it's so sick and it looks awesome. Like, and it was like the projector was like, you know, $1,200 or whatever, like, which is, you know, not nothing, but like for a projector, like, and it looks incredible. So like the price for all that stuff's come down, and now there's every streaming service has everything you'd ever want on it.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would I ever leave the house? Like, why would I go to the theater now when I can just wait 2 months and watch Oppenheimer at home? You know, even though I did see Oppenheimer in theater, but like, you know,
yeah.
Or Barbie for that matter. I did not see Barbie in the theater.
I did. I fell asleep in the theater.
Mm.
So it was the first time I ever been to one of those VIP theaters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So before the movie started, there was somebody walking up and down the thing or whatever. And Mrs. brought a blanket. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, look at me, look at me. Yeah. And she goes, would you like a cocktail? I'm like, a cocktail? And she goes, yeah, margaritas are on sale. I'm like, two doubles, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Next thing you know, midway through Barbie, I'm just so warm. Yeah. And I'm leaning back. I'm like, oh, this is so nice. And then I wake up, I'm like, huh! And I look beside me and there's ladies like, I don't know, probably roughly our age. They're all wearing pink. They're all obviously on a ladies' night out.
Of course.
And I can only imagine what they must have thought looking over at me passed
just
out beside them.
Snoring in the movie's boring. It's too much chicks in it. Too much chick stuff in this movie.
I don't know that I'm the target demo.
It was good. It was way weirder and way funnier than I thought it was going to be.
It was weird for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's just those double marks though. You know? Yeah,
those VIP theaters are deadly. Like that's pretty much either that
recline.
Yeah, either that or like Landmark. Because Landmark is kind of like the step down from that. They still have the big recliner mm-hmm. seats, but they just don't, yeah, you don't get fucking chicken nuggets and cocktails to your seat.
Yeah.
Like the VIP theater, but like I don't like going to the theater that much in general. No one can stay off their fucking phone for more than 2 seconds. Everyone's talking all the time. But if if I do go to the theater, I can't go to like a normal theater anymore and just sit in like a regular ass seat for 2 hours. Like I need it to recline. I need there to be some kind of headrest so that I can just kind of lay back as if I'm like at home. Like, yeah. But again, why would you go now that you can just watch everything at home?
I do like going to a theater still, although again, we're sounding like two very old people now.
Yeah, well, we are.
Going in there and you go, all right, there's me and Mrs. Two popcorns, two drinks and a candy. And you go, that'll be $9,000, yeah. Please. And you go, yeah. Okay.
Sure. So you sure. Said so.
But my thing lately is I've gone to a couple movies in theaters recently and Sunday matinee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's the move for
me. Yeah.
Or even nobody better, in there.
Even better if you're unemployed and or fun employed, like 1 p.m. on a Tuesday.
That'd be good.
That's the ticket right there. That's
that'd be good. Favorite.
I saw Hereditary by myself, and it's full theater by myself, and at like 1 p.m.
It's almost like, why are you showing it?
Oh, yeah.
But well, you got it, I suppose.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like the best. I could, if this was the theater experience every time, I would go fucking every other day. Like, this would be so
sick. Do you remember, you and I went to a movie at the now RIP Grandin Theater in St. Albert, and we walked in, and they said, what time do you guys want the movie to start? Like, I don't know.
That might have been, because I also remember, I don't know if it was the same one, but we saw Saw 2. And like the first like 20 minutes, like half the movie was like on the ceiling and it was like out of focus.
That was the one.
Yeah. It was not like the best run establishment, but for like $2, you could go see a fucking movie.
Yeah, it was
movie.
The world's cheapest theater. Oh, yeah. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I do remember sneaking in to see Jackass there as well when that came out. Which, and that was funny. It came full circle because our friend Mark was in Vancouver. I guess that must have been, was it this summer that the fourth one came out, or was it last summer?
I think it was last year.
Whatever summer that was.
I've got the technology.
Yeah, whatever summer that was, he came out, and I was like, this is so funny, because we went to the VIP theater, so I was like,
February 2022.
2022, holy shit.
Fuck, time just flies, man.
I know, yeah. So we also saw it that spring, but I was like, it's so funny, we had to sneak in to see the first one, and now here we are at like a fully licensed like adult theater to watch the fourth one.
Meanwhile, Fast and the Furious, there's 50 of them
now.
Oh
my god, yeah. That's another one I saw in theaters. I'll see like event movies in theaters. Like I saw Fast X in theaters, which like, man, those are, I love that series, but fuck me, are they starting to jump the shark like real hard?
I think I tapped out, like, really, so Paul hard. Walker died, obviously, yeah, but then I think RIP. I watched the, yeah, RIP always. I think I watched the next one, and that was the last I've seen so far. I've got no qualms with the series. I haven't progressed. Who's got time?
Yeah. It's just like one of those things where it feels like every kind of second movie is better kind of thing. Like the
because then there was a spinoff.
Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. I never saw that one. Although, like, I mean, I like The Rock, but I was just like, doesn't? I was like, this is just. I like Jason Statham even more, but I was like, this is just, maybe just too much. I just never got around to it. Like, I have it waiting for me to watch at some point. I just have never got around to it. But I've seen the other ones. It's, again, I'm a fan of the series, but it's becoming a lot.
It's always fun to think that when we were growing up, he was Rocky Maivia.
Yeah.
The Nation of Domination.
The blue chipper, Rocky Maivia.
And now he's a huge action star and he's triple the size somehow.
Yeah. I contend that, like, he's too big now, I think. Like,
he's
contend,
ridiculous.
Had he stayed the size he was around, I don't even remember what fucking movie it was.
Because he can only be cartoony people now.
Yeah. Exactly. So, there was like a time, it was like 2003 or 2004, I want to say, something like that, where he like had done the Hollywood thing and then he came back to WWF and he had like, it was,
what's that cycle now? Is it once a year he pops back in?
No, he just popped back in a few months ago, I believe. I think I saw something like that. He showed up on SmackDown or something like that. Like, craziest ovations you've ever fucking heard in your life. People went absolutely fucking nuts.
He
hasn't wrestled in a long time. I don't know that he ever will.
The last one I can see, I mean, Internet Wrestling Database has him, last time he wrestled was against CM Punk, Royal Rumble 2013.
Oh, wow. Okay. And CM Punk also just came back to WWF. Look at that. It all comes full circle.
Mm.
But yeah, there was like a time where he came back in like the early 2000s and he was like massive, like superhumanly big. But like, I think if he had stayed at that size, he could have done like more normal roles and shit like that.
Yeah.
And he would have been away, because that's like such an interesting thing, because he went to become, or I guess he still is, like one of the biggest movie stars in the world, but like, what fucking movies has he been? You know what I mean?
They're all
like
the same.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the same guy.
They're all mediocre. He just uses like the safest like bullshit to do. Like, cause he obviously was trying to become Arnold Schwarzenegger, but then you look at his filmography and he's done so many cool things.
Yeah. Really good movies.
The Rock has none of that.
Like
the Rock,
Jungle All the Way. I just watched it the other day.
Yeah.
Thank
hell
you.
Yeah. Jamie, I need to get the Turbo Man. but yeah, like it's that, and I mean, he's become like a real corny guy in real life too. Like he's Mr. fucking like always on, always branding type of thing for the last like decade.
He wore his meme outfit on Christmas. Did you see that?
No,
I followed the Rock on Instagram.
The gold turtleneck and
little,
the,
he had a little tube
and the fanny pack. Yeah. Classic. But.
The only thing I really enjoy is, one, his account makes me tired because he's always in the Iron Paradise. Two, the thing I actually really like is when he has a cheat day.
Sure.
And you've got like a trough of sushi and he goes, sushi train rolling.
But see, and that's my other problem is that like he does a cheat day and it's cool, but every time I've seen it, it's always sushi and cookies. He never does anything else.
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
gotta get
mix it up a little bit here, bro. Yeah. Like, do something fun. Like, go eat an entire, like, Cheesecake Factory or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, do something crazy. Do a Beard Meets Food style fucking food challenge.
Yeah. The only...
Showtime YEG food challenge.
I did see Showtime. I don't know when he loaded that up, but there's a fresh one I haven't seen.
What?
Yeah. He tags me in it on Facebook now.
Oh, my God.
Because I keep... Like, I chirp him all the time, incessantly. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, listen, man. It doesn't take 8 weeks to make one of these.
No, it certainly does not. It certainly does.
So long story short, a guy we went to high school with calls himself Showtime. He is Showtime. And he does food challenges on YouTube, and we love them. No one else does, but we do. Yeah. Very, very much.
Yes, they're hilarious.
How many people do you think, like, including that we just send them around to? Like, of our, like, people we went to high school with, like, I'm going to say I send it to at least, you and I are always in touch on them.
I watch them with Matt. So yeah. There's another one.
The big man. We always do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I try to get me Mrs. watching them, and she just goes, I can't believe you watch this shit every time. I go, how can I not watch this?
Because it's one of those things where, like, you both have to know him, and you also have to have, like, a broken, weird sense of humor to find them funny as well, and to, like, really kind of appreciate everything about them. So if you don't have one of those two things, then you're not going to enjoy them.
Broken, weird sense of humor leads me to the Christmas gift you got me. I don't know how to explain this to you, the listener, that you have no idea who we're talking about. Long story short.
We'll call him Bob.
Spider-Man 2 came out in 2002, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, Spider-Man 2. We're talking Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 2. That came out.
They say that a hero can save 2002. Us. Speaking of Nickelback.
Yeah, it said 2002. Oh, no, Spider-Man 2, 2004. My apologies.
2004, wow, okay.
My apologies. So we were out of high school at this point. June 30th, 2004. A guy we know.
We'll call him Bob.
There's a song called Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional in the soundtrack. And he was very confused at the time about what album this song was on, because he really loved the album. And we kept repeating, well, it's on the soundtrack.
It's not. He thought that it was already like a pre-existing song off a Dashboard Confessional album. So he was trying to figure out which Dashboard Confessional album that song was on.
The song itself, Vindicated, was crafted specifically for the movie.
For the soundtrack, yes.
So the joke isn't even that good. What album is Vindicated on? Spider-Man soundtrack.
Yeah. No, but what album is it on?
It's on the Spider-Man soundtrack. No,
okay, I know that, but what, like, which album is it on? That's basically how the conversation would go.
It was a circle. We were going in circles for way too long, frankly. And we've kept this up for 18 years.
Yeah.
No, 19
almost,
years.
Almost 20.
Almost 20
almost
years.
Almost 20.
Every now and then, I will get a text message, or I will send you one that says, what album is Vindicated on? So, Christmas was obviously on Monday. I forgot your gift that you brought for me when I went to my sister's place, which is where I open gifts. I get home last night, which is Boxing Day, and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to open this. So, I open it. It is the Vindicated single by Dashboard Confessional.
I fucking found it. I found what album Vindicated was on. I fucking solved it. After all these goddamn years, I found it.
I laughed probably 5-10 minutes, howling laughing. And Mrs. Good. Just, she's so Good. Confused. She goes, what is so funny? I'm like, I don't even know how to explain this to you. Vindicated, I know what album it's on.
I found the physical album it's on.
Amazing.
Yeah. I had, like I was telling you, like, when I saw, because I had that for a while, because I was going to bring it last year, but then of course I didn't come. So but when I had this, the exact same reaction as soon as I found it online, I was like, oh my God, the album.
It's so funny. It could have been funnier to me.
Incredible.
The joke was perfectly executed.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It was probably, it's probably my peak. I should probably retire from jokes and gift giving at this point.
So now I think I have to hang it on the wall. That's the only option I can do with that thing, I think. Because every time I look at it here in my office, I'm going to laugh.
And it's a 10-inch, and those are annoying because you play like one song and you got to fucking flip it over. It's just...
It's so funny, though.
Yeah.
A beautifully executed joke. 20 years in the making.
Everything just falls into place sometimes.
And no one laughs about it, just the two of us.
Yeah, which makes it even better. Makes it all the more worthwhile.
I'd be remiss if I had you on the podcast and I don't ask you what you've got going. What are you doing now in Vancouver? What show are you working on? Because I know when this comes out and eventually goes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, everybody's like, well, you got to ask what he's doing.
Sure, yeah. So I'm editing on a television show called Dead Man's Curse for History Channel. We're working on season 3 right now. We did season 2 last year. Has not aired yet in Canada. It's aired in America. So if you're in America and you have Hulu, go watch the whole season right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out. But I believe, I don't know specifically, but I believe it'll air in either late January or sometime in February. So keep an eye out. I'm sure you'll see fucking advertisements for it all over the place. We also just got a deal with the Weather Channel to air the first season, and I believe season 2. That was my last thing I had to do before I left, was send off a bunch of promo shit to the Weather Channel. So yeah, we're working on that. It's a show about finding gold, basically. There's like this old... like a local story up in the Pit Lake region, which is just north of Vancouver, about this man named Slumach, this First Nations guy who allegedly found a cache of gold or a gold mine up in the hills somewhere. And every time he would come into town, he would have like a handful of like nugget or like egg sized, golf ball sized gold nuggets. And so he was like the gold guy. And then he was convicted of and killing another guy and hanged. And the legend goes, right before he was hanged, his last words were, "When I die, the mine dies with me." And so ever since then, no one has been able to find this gold. And plenty of people that have gone up to try to find it have died in under mysterious circumstances. So it's all kind of added to the
It's like a curse.
Yeah, exactly. This is the dead man's curse, hence the name.
Literal curse.
Hence the name. And so our show is about that, about our team goes out there to try to find the gold, debunk a lot of the theories and the myths. And we also delve into like the actual history of the region. Like the coolest thing for me is when they find like 1,000-year-old pictographs that were like hand painted on like the side of a cave that's like still out there.
Yeah.
Like they just used like raw materials to make like primitive paint and just painted these like really cool like symbols, and they're out there. We find like old prospecting gear and stuff like that. So yeah, it's cool. History Channel, look for it.
One of the fun things that we did on Friday night when we went out with our buddies was you were talking about the visual markers for like a teaser before the commercial.
Yeah, from reality TV. Yeah. So what we call the right before the ad break or the act break at the end of the act.
It's so good. It was making me laugh because it's just like, I love those shows.
Because I worked on, for anyone unaware, I also worked on a few seasons of Highway Through Hell and Heavy Rescue.
Which I watch Highway Through Hell. I used to. I watch that all the time.
Yeah. And Heavy Rescue 401, which has been canceled. Even though at our Christmas party, they're like, oh, it was like the most watched show. It had the highest ratings of any show on Discovery Canada this year. And I was like, oh, cool. Then why the fuck are we not working on it anymore? But anyway, on those shows are a lot more of the kind of like what I think you would kind of think of when you think of reality TV, where it's a lot of it. It's like, it's real. What's happening is real, but it's like very massaged and kind of in post. And so what we started referring to act breaks as the whoa, whoa, whoa moment, because
that's why I couldn't think of what you guys were calling it. Yeah. The whoa, whoa,
so
whoa
it's that moment. You see it on, you know, Deadliest Catch. You see it on, you know, any show. I mean, I'm pretty sure even on fucking Storage Wars and stuff, they'll do that kind of stuff, but it'll be like the music will start to swell. And then it'll be like, oh my God, like, oh, what's going to happen? And they'll start like hard cutting to people's reactions and stuff like that. And on our show, it was always like a whoa, 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 whoa. Cause like something was being pulled up by a chain or like,
and the cable teetering. Snapped. Or
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then so, oh, you got to, something crazy going to happen. Well, you got to come back and you got to watch the commercials and come back and see what kind of crazy stuff happens. So I've, our friends, Chris and Michelle, were saying that I've pretty much ruined reality TV for their family, because like, that's all they see now is just like the fake, like hype going into the commercial break. Like, you better come back. You better come back.
Clearly it works though. Otherwise it wouldn't work.
100%. Yeah. 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 But it's, it is. That's one of the things about when like working in whatever industry, when you kind of see how the sausage is made and then you can kind of, you can not unsee it. 100%.
There are people that listen to this podcast we're recording right now and think when I say I have a recording studio in my basement that it's a legit recording studio.
Oh yeah, this place is beautiful. It's state of the art. Think of like TSN 1260. That's what we're
RIP.
That's what we're in. Oh, we're Edmonton Sports Talk, is that what it is?
Sports 1440, thank you.
Shout out Handsome Tom.
Shout out Handsome Tom, yeah. Oh shit. Guy still looks great.
Oh yeah, does he ever?
Fuck, does he ever?
Does he ever?
Always looks great.
And I also did a little shameless self-promotion.
If
you go on YouTube and search up Back Alley Hollywood Yule Log, you'll find a short film my aforementioned friend Matt and I wrote and directed. And
tease it for me a little bit, because you sent it in the group chat, and if I was home that day, I would have watched it, because one of the greatest things I ever did in my life was I bought a smart TV.
Yeah.
And now I just have YouTube on my TV.
Yeah.
The best. So I'm going to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet. Tease it for me.
So it's basically a parody of like E True Hollywood Story and or Behind the Music. But it's about the log from the Yule Log video, or like the Christmas Fireplace channel, whatever you're more familiar with. And just all the crazy happening, you know, it follows the kind of the same, the classic melodramatic story of, you know, the small town beginnings and the rise to stardom and then the fall and the drug use and everything like that. So we just, I don't know, we try to write like really stupid shit, and that was one of them. We just like wrote this script one night, and then next thing you know, we were shooting it, and I was like, oh, okay, we're actually doing this, huh? And then
sometimes you gotta,
4 years later, we finally finished post-production on it, and it launched on Christmas Day. So it's already up to like 600 views or something like that, which is insane. Like, we didn't think anyone was gonna watch it. I don't know how the fuck people are finding this fucking thing, unless they were accidentally, like, they were looking for like some kind of like Yule Log video on YouTube, like,
perfect,
and accidentally clicked on this one. And then I don't know if it, you get like 10 seconds in, it counts as a view or something like that. But yeah, so go check that out. Back Alley Hollywood Yule Log.
If you're listening to this right now, I will have it linked for you in the description of the podcast. So just give that a little click and a watch.
It's a brisk like 24 minutes or whatever. It's an easy watch.
Casual watch. Yeah. You working on anything else like that?
No. That was it. Well, because the part of the problem was that Matt moved to Toronto in summer of 2019. So that kind of halted all kind of progress. Yeah, fuck.
Damn kids.
Bullshit.
That's absolute bullshit.
Wow. But yeah, no, nothing like that coming down the pipe at the moment. But
we're going to watch that. Again, link will be in the description for the podcast when I post it. Click, like, subscribe, all that stuff. Is that your YouTube channel, or what is that?
We created one just specifically for the video. We wanted to do like a, like make it seem like kind of like a legit like TV show or whatever. So
YouTube's an interesting format. I mean, it is. Like, now that I have it on my TV, I mean, outside of sports, like I need sports for obvious reasons, but I don't know that I need cable.
Yeah. Oh no, I haven't had cable.
You haven't forever.
In forever.
You were the first person that I know that got rid of cable entirely.
Yeah. Well, I had satellite. I had, we bought a satellite dish and a receiver, and then I just piggybacked off my dad's satellite.
Well, yeah,
why the fuck not?
Why wouldn't you?
But then, like, once I moved into, or no, I moved back here, and so I didn't have a spot for it. So I was like, okay, well, just no cable then. And like, pretty much all, not all, but like the majority of what I watch now is just YouTube. Like,
is there anything you miss about having it?
No, not anymore. Like, sports is like kind of the one thing, but like, man, there's so many, like,
you can find ways,
crisp 1080p fucking illegal streams online now. Like, it's insane how far this come. I remember watching like little like 240p like choppy resolution stuff
on one of those websites that gave you AIDS, like,
that just like turned your computer into 250 degree like molten lava because of all the pop-up ads and shit like that. And now it's just like I have got like a handful of sites that I kind of rotate around depending on what I want to watch, and it's like perfect. Like, it'll buffer sometimes, or like sometimes you'll have a little bit of, you know, some drop off every once in a while, but like, it's fucking insane how far that stuff has come. Although I am kind of starting to now come back around and be like, nah, maybe I should buy the Sportsnet package off Amazon because it's just easy. I use Prime a little bit, so
Wazzy Weathers or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Just to have that on there, something to throw on.
Prime is shit.
I know. It's
like, I use Prime for shipping, obviously. But if you go to Prime, like, outside of The Boys, there's very little original programming that's worth watching.
Yeah. I still have to see that. That's in my queue.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. I've heard. So this. I mean, I have a never-ending list of shows that I have to watch.
Eventually. Who doesn't?
I downloaded, was that show Severance? I was going to watch that over the break.
I don't even know what this is.
It's like one of those Apple TV shows. Mm. Apple TV Plus.
I got 3 months of Apple TV. I was complaining about. Cool. I got a new iPhone, so they were like, "Here's a." But though I didn't want a new iPhone, it was just, I was contractually obliged to get
necessary
one.
Necessary evil, yeah.
But Steve Jobs now owns me.
Apple TV has like a lot of like decent stuff on there. Some pretty like well regarded stuff, some popular stuff. And Severance is one of those shows that came out like last year, the year before, that like everyone I knew at work was watching, and I was like, well, what's this show? I was like, oh, I don't have fucking Apple TV Plus, and it's like, I just never got around to it.
I've been trying to get somebody to just give me theirs, but now I've got 3 minutes, I'm going to binge and then cancel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One thing I did get from our friend Mark was log into his YouTube Premium.
Oh, sick.
Game changer.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would pay for a lot of websites to go ad free, but YouTube I would.
Yeah. I run my projector, like I have a home theater PC, and so I just use it, pardon me, as like just a desktop kind of thing. So I have AdBlock on there and I run it through.
By the way, just since you mentioned PC, I want you to, while you're here, I want you to help me kind of like look for one.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the year.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Perfect.
I want to game a little bit. Yeah, with some of your boys that you game with earlier in the day.
We were just talking about, because one of them needs to get a new PC pretty badly. So we were just talking about PC parts and everything. So
our head of tech at work, I was just like, will you help me build one? He goes, yeah. And then he sends me a thing and it was like $5,000. I'm like, what the fuck wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Those are mostly probably COVID prices. Like everything during like the last 3 years was like astronomically expensive. Whereas now they've come crashing back down. Like,
and I don't know anything. So like when you tell me I need $5,000, I'm like, I guess I'll sell pictures then.
No, you could build, for your purposes, you could build like a fucking rock solid rig for $1,700.
I just want to play some vids, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I just want to play some vids.
There was a time during like 2021, 2022, where just like the graphics card was like $2,500.
Like, no.
It was ridiculous.
That does not work for me.
It was like COVID plus like people like me who were like, well, I got nothing better to do. May as well buy a gaming PC finally and do that. And then crypto miners. And so it just made this like insane fucking
market. Must gouge them all.
Yeah,
I get it.
But like, so I think, yeah, so you'd be able to build something for less than $2,000.
It's like the Edmonton Oilers tactics of being like, hey, check out these Converse with an Oilers logo on it. $600.
Yeah. Well, it's got an Oilers logo on it, but I have to.
I was like, I've had those shoes and they're $80. I swear they are. Nope.
You can probably get like them custom painted at a store for like $20.
Totally. Ridiculous. Or just like go and buy some knockoff ones that look just as good, you know?
Beer number two. What do we got? What is this one? So the first one I was drinking was called First Timer IPA from SYC Brewing.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm not a big IPA guy, although I'm starting to kind of come around.
Well, you took the bullets on this one because like we were going in the fridge. I was like, these ones are tough for me. I'm not an IPA guy. So I've got the Higgy.
Ooh.
Amber Ale. I like an Amber Ale.
I did the Higgy. This one's, what is this? Neon Brown Strong Beer. And then the fine print says, where is this fine print?
Oh, on the back half there.
Orange in color and flavor, big notes of tangerine and grapefruit from a generous dose of citrus hops. Keep cold, enjoy fresh. It's not that cold because it's been sitting here for a minute, but let's get it.
Took me a minute to get things set up. I was excited to do this. I actually bought new cables and stuff because I knew you were going to come in. I was going to make you do a podcast with me.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Got to do it a little bit.
That's a pretty tasty beer. That one's pretty good.
Good.
A little more hoppy. I don't love a hoppy beer, but that's pretty good.
I can't do them. I'm still a baby.
Yeah.
Like, there's some guys just at work or whatever that they're really into some of the craft beers and some, they get really off the rail. I've never found myself getting there. The most new beer I will drink is now sours.
Yeah, same. I've been drinking.
And everybody's been like, I've been drinking sour for years, man. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. The more it tastes like juice, the more I'm into it.
Yeah. For a long time, I just was drinking Brewhouse Lights as my like house beer because there's a dollar a beer. So I'll just have some in the fridge and then I would post it on. I would be like, cheers. And people would be like, fuck you and your beer. I was like, dare God you? Damn it.
How dare you not drink good beer? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's lost on me.
Oh, pardon me.
Yeah, it's all lost on me.
Fair. I mean, I'm a very generic coffee drinker. I just started doing pour over coffee a couple months ago. I bought a little kit for myself because my Keurig was starting to bite the bullet. But I know people that like we have this fucking crazy fucking automatic coffee machine at work. You can get like any fucking drink you want out of it. You just hit a button and a fucking latte comes out. And there's like half our office is like refuses to drink out of that machine because they're like, oh, it's fucking disgusting. But I'm like, I don't know, man. It tastes like coffee to me. Then I put a little cream in there or a little oat milk and like we're good to go. Like, I don't know. It all tastes like coffee to me.
I've gotten myself into, I don't do it often, but every now and then I'll buy a nice bag of beans because there's something about the ritual too that's nice.
Yes, yeah.
Where you grind the beans and then the fresh smell and then you brew it like that. Like there's something nice about that. Yeah. But for the most part, like if you look at my coffee drawer or whatever upstairs, it's just a big thing of Folgers that was on sale.
I drank exclusively McDonald's coffee for like 3 years. I would just scoop it into my little reusable Keurig cup and fucking put her in there. But now I started to buy there's like a local brand called Grizzly Paw that makes like a real good coffee. There's like a little bit of a chocolatey taste to it. It's fucking delicious. So I've been doing that a lot lately.
During the pandemic, I was subscribed to Yegg Coffee Club.
Oh, cool.
Which was essentially send you a bag of local roasted beans every month and then a little snack or whatever. And I got into it, and then you go and look at how much some of these beans cost, and you go, well, you know what? The $7 drum of Folgers is pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to last me like 3 months.
I drink a lot of coffee, arguably too much coffee, though.
And see, that's my other thing, is I have my one cup in the morning with breakfast, and I'll have like one cup at work at around 10, 10:30, and like that's pretty much it. Like, I'm not a huge coffee guy.
Yeah, I drink way too much
coffee. Although we were just talking about, so at Christmas Eve, I go to our friend's...
The party. Yeah. Christmas Eve party.
Our friend's
karaoke?
No, there was no karaoke. I haven't been karaoke there for a while.
But what?
Yeah, his parents do a Christmas party every Christmas Eve, and I've been going there since I was like 16 or 17 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
For sure.
And
it's a staple for you on Christmas Eve.
His dad was at one point was like, "Oh, Irish coffee? You want an Irish coffee?" I was like, "Yeah, fuck yeah!" And then I drank it, and then I look at my phone, and I'm like, "It's like 10:45." It's like, "Oh fuck, what am I doing?" So I get home by like at like midnight or whatever. I put my presents in the fucking bags and toss them under the tree, and I get downstairs, and like I passed out like pretty quickly. Like, I threw a movie on, laid in bed, and passed out, and then I woke up like 20 minutes later, just wired. Just absolutely fucking wired. And yeah. I was like, oh no, like I'm not gonna be able to sleep until like 4 a.m. now. What have I done? It was this delicious Irish coffee was a horrible fucking idea.
There's some people like my old man can drink coffee at any time of day.
Yeah, and he'll
go right to bed. Yeah. I don't understand.
You
I can't
a couple of tequila and Baileys and you just offset everything and you're good to go.
Like if I'm drinking, my drink is rum and Cokes. I'll press them now because I'm old. But even if I drink too many of those, I'm going to be up way later than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, I was at my sister's place. My brother-in-law and I were drinking. First of all, you'll like this. You got to watch AC/DC live on Christmas Eve.
So we
were rocking. My sister very upset about it. She goes, oh, this again. But it's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're drinking rum and Cokes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to bed early tonight because I want to, you know, doing the Christmas thing. I want to get up a little bit early, walk the dog. It's beautiful again. There it is, 4 a.m., and I'm still like, what's going on? You want to watch the second episode of this colorized World War II documentary or what?
Oh, fuck, I do want to watch that. I got that in my queue as well.
It is
I
good.
I can't wait to watch that.
I watched the first one. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could go to bed just on command like my old man can.
That would be so nice.
I swear, if sometimes he's like standing in line, he'll go to bed.
Just take a quick little power nap. Why not?
Yeah, he's Heritage Classic. We're backing up. I go, I'm going to go get a beer or something. Do you want one? He goes, yeah, sure. Come back, and he's just like,
just not at all.
It's like you're outside. It's like, wow, it's what? I just was having nice. The sun was on my face.
Why not?
Who's
the harm?
Well, happens, you know? It happens. I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about today, so I pulled up a list of a couple of,
some
of the biggest stories of 2023 you and I, we've always loved pop culture.
Of course.
So some of these I'm going to leave, but like, I don't want to get newsy, but some of these are fun. Some of these are a little bit fun. Curious because we were talking about YouTube. This is a list from CBC.ca, by the way. Some of the top stories of 2023.
Oh, the Trudeau funded drag. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know it was this type of podcast.
We're going to do it for our friends at Trilogy Oldfield Rentals. Go check them out at trilogyrentals.ca. Of course, they've got all the tools you need. Shout out to Uncle Kerry. I love you.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate you. Of course, they're an established provider of tools and expertise across multiple oil field disciplines, specializing in rentals, pipe recoveries, abandonments, and completions. Currently, they maintain full-time operating units in Provost, Weyburn, and Kindersley. TrilogyRentals.ca. We were talking about YouTube.
Shout out Cole from Provost, too.
Cole from Provost. Do you watch Mr. Beast at all?
No.
So I've turned into, over the last calendar year, so number two on the CBC list of stories is YouTuber Mr. Beast hits 100 million, then 150 million subscribers on YouTube.
Jesus.
Same calendar
year. Do they even make a plaque for that, or do they just send you like a Bugatti at that point?
Yeah, I just assume they just send you a Bugatti.
Like a private jet.
It's interesting to me how YouTube has got these people who are just insanely famous to a certain segment of the population.
Yeah.
So me misses, she doesn't watch Mr. Beast at all unless she's with me.
Right.
I just, the content he makes is fascinating to me because he invests so much money in these videos and hundreds of millions of views.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's got to be something to them if they're getting that many fucking insane amounts of views.
It's just, it's wild to me that this kid, again, 100 and I'll look up how many subscribers he's got because it's always, it makes me laugh all the time to see how many he has.
But I do wonder, like, so I do wonder about that type of stuff though too, where it's like, I wonder how much of it is like, once you kind of reach a certain level of like fame or fan base or whatever,
222 million subscribers.
Holy fuck. But like, at what point is it like kind of, then it's just the machine kind of feeding itself, where it's like, okay, you've got like this amount of fans, but now people are just watching because so many people watch, and then it just kind of becomes one of those things.
It's like watching the last season of Friends or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, you got to do it.
Yeah. Game of Thrones. Like, so, well, everyone at work is watching it and talking about it, so I better fucking get into it.
That's how I got it back into Big Brother.
Yeah. 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 This is another thing we have not talked about this year. Cause I watched the whole season.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Because you're always like, it ends, and then you're like, oh, I'm about 12 episodes behind.
Yeah, no, this one I kept up with, even though it was a struggle for the first like 8 weeks, but I did keep up with it.
And?
Fuck, I'm trying to remember.
Are you watching the Christmas one at all?
I was going to, and I just never did.
I forgot about it. Like I was going to, and then completely forgot about it.
Fuck, refresh my, who won again? The fucking Big Brother? Oh, not Kacer. Fuck, what was his name?
Wow, what's up?
God, why can't I remember his fucking name?
Oh, Jag.
Jag. And he was one of my picks right off the hop. I was like,
he was my horse that I'd picked on episode one, so I felt very proud about it.
Yeah.
But at the end, even I was thinking, like, you fucking idiots got to get him out.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what happens every year, right? I mean, it was the same thing with Suri, where it's like, oh, she's been on Survivor like 5 times or some shit like that, and she's like done really well. Like,
let me ask you a question.
Get her out first.
So. Upstairs, big Survivor fan.
Okay, yeah.
Hardcore. I haven't watched Survivor since, I don't know, like season 3 or so, yeah, and they're on like 45 now.
Yeah.
We were arguing a little while ago about which game is harder, Survivor or Big Brother, because I was just like, oh, Survivor's prize is $1 million.
Yeah.
That's more than Big Brother's prize.
Yeah, way more, yeah.
And she goes, well, Survivor's way harder because you're out on an island, all you get is a bag of rice to eat. And I was just like, yeah, but the duration is 1/3 of the duration of a Big Brother winner.
Yeah, and you're outside, you get like your own time, they're not filming you 24/7. I mean, even Suri said that, did she not? She was like, Big Brother is way harder because of all those reasons. Like, you're stuck in this house for 3 fucking months, you're around people nonstop. Like, and I always think about that too, like, especially when like people are starting to like break down in the diary room, and they're like having mental breakdowns, and it's like, well, yeah, because like you're sleeping like 3 hours a night because they're constantly waking you up for some dumb bullshit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're paranoid because everyone is whispering all the time. Every single time you walk into a room, a conversation just like stops and everyone fucking like straightens their back up and stuff like that. Like, it must be fucking insane to be in that house.
That was like Matt the deaf guy, because obviously like whispering around him was very offensive to him. But like, that's what the game is.
Exactly, so
like,
Which is like, and that was crazy. Like, I'm surprised. Like, I thought they were going to give it to him because of that, because he played with such a, for lack of a better term, such a handicap for game wise.
Yeah, yeah.
That like it seems insane that they wouldn't just be like, okay, well, you made it all the way to the end, like, here you go. But obviously, Jag made his case that, like, well, the only reason he's here is because I fucking,
which I loved, just threw him right under the bus. That was one of the coldest like final two speeches I've heard.
And I thought, because in another year, that would have been his undoing, was going too hard in the speech.
And well, because the jury anger, that's our boy Paul. He lost 2 years in a row because of that.
Bitter jury syndrome. And so I was worried that it was going to happen this year. And when he was doing his speech, I was like, damn, he is going hard as fuck in the paint right now. Like, I don't think I think he's blowing his spot. And then they were like, no, he's right. Like, he got it. And they're like, he won like, what, 8-2 or something like that. Yeah. So I was like, oh, finally, like, the right guy won for the first time in a long time. So
and
I
they had chances to get him out too. Like,
what's that?
They had chances to get him out. They did.
And then Matt saved him. And then, so he got the $100,000 runner up prize because he saved him.
Next up on the countdown of the top stories. So again, this is CBC's list, not my own. Next one I want to touch on is the Taylor Swift mania over Eras tickets and how it completely took over the world for a minute. I'm old now and I admit it. I find it funny how much money, like, listen, and I admit I spent way too much money to go see Blink-182.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But some of these are bananas.
Well, again, it's just the price of everything, right? Everything has gone up 700% over the last like 2 years.
But those, like, you can't even get them because, like, Taylor Swift is like
lotteries and shit.
You got to do lotteries.
You get to win a lottery to spend like $1,300 on concert tickets to go to one show. And like, I also like,
and then she did it in theaters, and then you would go to, like, you'd see those stories of people dancing at theaters and annoying the theaters beside them.
It looked like a revival church or something like that, where everyone is up like screaming and waving
hands. Hated it.
It looks insane.
Like,
I don't really get it, if I'm being honest. Like, I guess, like, I saw someone explain it that, like, Taylor Swift is just kind of so generic that, like, pretty much anyone can kind of project their own like everything onto her and then like see that reflected back onto them kind of thing. Where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, and like, I mean, her songs are obviously about like very universal stuff, right? Like heartbreak.
Yeah, and love and all love that.
And all this kind of thing. So it's obviously it's very easy. Like I was thinking back to like kind of the stuff that we used to listen to where it was the same thing, right? It's about like girls breaking your heart, mm-hmm. like being, you know, awkward at school and all this kind of shit, like drinking with your friends. And it was like, that's us. That's what we do. We do that stuff. Even though it's like 28-year-old dudes from Southern California and we were like 16-year-old Alberta boys. But so it's got to be, a lot of it's got to be the same thing, but just the sheer scope of it is fucking massive. Insane. The most famous singer in the world, like by far, like it's crazy.
My favorite thing about the Taylor Swift stuff is when she started dating Travis Kelce and people were some Swifties were acting as though he's some schlub, nothing going on. He's one of the best fucking tight ends in the NFL and he's got nothing doing.
And like hilarious, like one of the best personalities in the NFL as well. Like seems for all intents and purposes, like a pretty good guy, which is like hit or miss with like sports stars and stuff like that.
What do you think about sports guys like Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce? Obviously they have their podcast together. It is wild to me. Because you would never see it in the NHL that two active players, different teams, have a podcast that is weekly or whatever the rhythm is on that one. Talking about active stories in the sport they play in.
Yeah, it's wild. Although there's a channel on YouTube, a podcast called Empty Netters, and they have had like some decent guests on there like every once in a while. And like, it's surprising how candid some of these are. Like they had Jack Eichel on a couple weeks ago and he was like, they were like, talk us through like the, you know, the summer before you got to Vegas and blah, 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 blah. And he went on and he was like, yeah. And then it basically got down to Calgary and Vegas. So it was going to go to one of those two. And I was like, that's crazy. Like you never hear that type of candid talk from an NHL player. Like you said, especially active NHL player where they're like, because how mad is that going to make everyone in Calgary? Like, you know, oh my God, we were that fucking close to Jack Eichel.
And then you get Jonathan Huberdeau. No points in December.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Holy shit. That's not awesome. Good. Good for them. Good for the plan.
He is on pace for like 35 points this season.
But, and then the other one that happened, it was that, did you see that Devon Taves, like locker room interview from like a week ago?
Yeah, that pissed everyone off.
But like, why? Like that shouldn't piss anybody off. Like one, it was interesting. Two, like I don't follow the Avalanche obviously, but I'm assuming he was probably right in what he was saying. And it gives, you know, it adds some spice and some interest and some intrigue to the season. Like we need way more of that.
I want that way more than get pucks deep, you know? Yeah. Like,
and someone was explaining, they're like, well, this obviously, you can pretty much infer that like they had already talked about that.
Frank Saravalli, that was my boy Frank.
Oh, did he say that? Okay,
Frank Saravalli.
You can infer that they've already talked about this in the locker room. Yeah. Otherwise, he's not going to go to the media and go like, yeah, half the guys in here are playing like ass right now and they think they're too good and blah, blah, blah. Like he's at his last straw. And so he's just trying to like, okay, well, if you guys aren't going to do anything, I'm going to blast you in the media then as well. And still not naming names, obviously, but like that type of shit is awesome. Like I love that shit. Like we need way, way more of that stuff in the NHL.
Every other sport has so much more personality than the NHL, and I get that's kind of just how it is.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to see Connor McDavid say something fun, but I love that shit. You're right. 100%. Next up, Super Mario Bros. On the big screen set two box office records after opening on April 5th, smashed a record for most opening weekend earnings for a video game adaptation.
Okay. Yeah. Not hard. Very low bar.
I haven't seen it.
It's good. It's good.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it's very fun. I went in, I'm pretty cynical, especially about stuff like that. Like I thought it was going to be, and it's like whatever that company is, like Illumination or whatever, like the one that does, it's like the like two tiers below Pixar, like it's that company. So like most of this, like I'm pretty sure it's the same stuff that does like Minions and all that type of where, where they just fucking pump that garbage out for kids. So I went in with very low expectations being like, but it's really fun. And like the visuals are very, very cool. Although it's like, it's weird because it's like, you can kind of see where the technology is now, where it's like, it's got like photorealistic like textures and stuff like that, but they're goofy cartoon characters. Like it was this really weird mix, but like it's a fun movie overall. The one thing that I really didn't like was Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. And I love Seth Rogen, but he's just doing Seth Rogen. So it's just Donkey Kong going, oh, hey, I'm Donkey Kong. And I'm like, oh, like you couldn't have done like some kind of fun, like a voice or something like that. Like it's just Seth Rogen. Like,
yeah, just Seth Rogen doing his thing.
Like why? But yeah, it's good though. I would recommend it. I think you'll have a fun time. It's pretty fun.
I like,
and they did a couple cool things with like, Like, they have, like, one scene in particular where there's, like, the kind of, like, the side-scrolling thing, and he's, like, jumping up and down, like, hitting the boxes and stuff like that and going through the level. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, I wasn't sure how they were going to mix in the video game stuff, but they did it pretty well. And Jack Black is great in it. It's pretty good.
I will watch it next up. This one's fun to me because I got duped by a couple of them. AI tricking everyone with deep fakes, including songs by artists you love using the real voices, but it is not actually them. There was a big one. This one specifically cites the Drake and Weeknd collab.
Okay, I think
that was not the Drake and the Weeknd, right. Written by a guy named Ghostwriter 977.
cool.
What do you think of these AI things that are always just popping up? Because I got duped by a couple of them.
Yeah, that type of stuff, like, I can see, like, a real concern for it, because it has gotten, like, so good. And if you put music over top of it, like, yeah, like, how can you fucking tell the difference? And especially now with, like, I mean, hip hop and stuff like that, where it's, like, so overproduced and there's so many filters on everything, it's like you can't even tell, like, what they really sound like anyway. So, like, that type of stuff is pretty fucked. Like, I mean, obviously it's, like, pretty easy for them to be like, nah, it wasn't us, but, like, by that point, like, how many people have heard it? And they're like, this new fucking
got millions. Cool. According to this article by CBC, millions and millions of streams.
Yeah. So, like, that stuff is pretty wild. And I mean, it's getting, like, crazier and crazier. Like the face replacement and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, those are.
I don't know. I think a lot of it's overblown. I think a lot of, like, the panic is a bit overblown, but, like, stuff like that is pretty gnarly. Like, especially if we're, like, a year or two away from, like, hey, you can just put any celebrity in anything that you want and on this website and just go ahead, just hit the button. Like, it's getting pretty fucked up for, like, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm hoping that eventually I have enough recorded audio of myself that I can just have myself as an AI version. Yeah, so that even when I'm dead, I still make podcasts in perpetuity,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
just keep going on.
Yeah,
next one, which was a weird, dark, morbid time on the internet, but at the same time very, very fun, was the Titanic expedition, where that ocean gate Titan crumpled itself.
Yeah, sure did.
I don't know that I've seen the internet unite in a way that was so funny and morbid in a while, but that one was one of those ones where you go, you know what? I see this thing that's controlled by a PlayStation controller. Yeah. You go, well,
no, it was a Logitech. It was like a cheap third party, like $25 controller. That was even the worst part of it. Guy couldn't even spring the $60 for an Xbox One controller. You know, how do you think this guy's going to be able to maneuver his little homemade sub down to the Titanic? But yeah, that one was gnarly, because obviously you go like, okay, well, there was like a teen on board or whatever. Like, and he mm-hmm. was just like kind of. Sounds from everything and something, he was kind of dragged down there by his dad, be like, come on this fun trip, it'll be fucking cool. But at the same time, some guy who thinks that he can just build a submarine to go down and visit the Titanic, like, yeah, what the fuck did you expect was gonna happen, bro? Good lord. But this is why we should be a libertarian and everyone should be able to do whatever they want, right? No regulation.
The other thing I liked about it, which was, you know, funny but not funny, but also funny, was son of British billionaire Hamish Harding drew a lot of criticism online when he attended a Blink-182 concert during the search for the submersible.
Oh, my dad's down in the bottom of the Titanic. Tom, can you help me out? Find me dad.
I was really bummed when they played Stay Together for the Kids, you know? He goes, what am I supposed to do?
It's like, oh, me dad's on the holiday.
Oh, I love this song.
Oh, me dad and the sub, Frank.
It was fun. I love Blink-182.
Me too. The new album's pretty good. I like it a lot.
Surprisingly so.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually sounded like all three of them tried.
Yeah.
The last time they did this song and dance, I don't know that they all did.
No, probably not. They were all definitely in different headspaces, I would say, yeah. than they were for this one.
Yeah. The other thing, I'm not going to touch on this one, but Andrew Tate, Rise to Prominence. That was a weird one.
Is that this year? I feel like he's been around for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, apparently...
Fucking rotten piss.
Yeah, the virality really kicked off in the first part of the year. I guess. Anyway, weird incel kind of things going on there.
The internet's very cool.
Yeah, the internet's great. Everybody's always got good ideas. Prime gets pulled from stores after... what does it say?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the level of caffeine and the marketing to children. Equivalent of 5 to 6 cups of coffee.
In one can? Holy shit. Okay, I didn't know that. Holy fuck. Like, I knew it. Like, it was like exceeding Canadian health standards or whatever. But like, I did not know it was that moldy.
That's pretty cool.
Fuck, that's crazy.
Let's get all these kids jacked up on.
Yeah.
Like we had Jolt Cola.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Jolt Cola on steroids.
Oh, my dad loved Jolt Cola. Although he would like.
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But he would do the thing where he would drink like a quarter of it at a time and like keep the rest of it in the fridge and then drink a quarter of it.
In
the fridge kind of thing. So he was not about to drink a whole like 250 mil of Jolt Cola.
Does your dad still listen to angsty music by any chance? Like there was a time when he was up to date, but with the angsty tunes.
I don't.
3 Days Grace specifically was the one that I always remember.
He does. When we were driving back from the airport, he had Sonic 102.9 on. That's his station, and he cranked it up. And he's like, I don't usually get to listen to my music loud because when his wife's in the car, she likes like classical music and stuff like that. So she's not on board with like the yeahs and whenever they're playing on Sonic. But he's still into that. I don't know if he's. I don't think he's like keeping up anymore. But yeah, there was one of those things where like in high school, it was like very embarrassing that he knew like all the fucking bands
I loved it.
And songs, but like in hindsight I'm like, that's kind of was kind of cool of him. It was kind of cool. He kept up with music for a while, and he's obviously the reason why I still listen to like a lot of the music that I listen to today. Like he was always into like, because he kind of came up with like that first era of like metal. Like he was into Sabbath,
yeah,
and Cream and Led Zeppelin, Frank Zappa. So he like kind of came up with that and never really kind of got out of it. So that's where I kind of get my love for heavy music is from him. So, but yeah, I don't think he keeps up with, I don't even know who, because I don't keep up with new music anymore outside of like the specific bands that I like. So I he listens to Sonic. So I think he just kind of whatever, like soaks it in like a sponge, but that's probably about it.
Up next from July, Barbenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not get wrapped up in that?
Fuck yeah.
Two very, very different movies. Yeah. We already mentioned I fell asleep at Barbie. Still haven't seen Oppenheimer. I want to see it really badly. It's just some of those movies that are 3+ hours long. It's just like it's a slog.
It's brutal.
So I need to watch it at my house so I can have a break and just kind of live my life, you know?
Or the VIP theater. I saw Oppenheimer in the VIP theater and it helped a lot being able to like, lay there and like just be like, I didn't fall asleep in that one, but it was like if I would have, I was like, okay, well, you know, it is. Because like I was telling you this the other day, like I saw The Batman in theater, and that was like from what I remember, it was like my first like post COVID movie or like post second COVID wave or whatever. And it was at like a regular theater, and that movie is like 2 hours and 50 minutes
long. It's long. I just watched it again.
I was dying. Like the last 20 minutes, I was just begging for the fucking movie to end already. I was like, I gotta piss. My back is hurting. I know it's almost at the end, so I don't want to go to the bathroom now because I know that we're getting there. But I was like, why is every movie 2.5 hours long? Like, I fucking hate it.
There's none that really come out now that are just a 90 minute, you're in, you're out.
No, which we need to go back to that. As my first act as prime minister will be to make sure that movies are only 90 minutes. 90 minutes or less.
Yeah, I'm super into that. Like 2 hours, if you really got my attention. Like I just rewatched Superbad I always watch that at least once a year, and I still cry laughing. Like the dick drawing scene. I think that a movie that is now 2007, whatever that math is, 15 years, 16, 17 years, that I would get over it, but.
Nope.
Here I am still eating lunch by myself like fucking Steven Klein.
I make that joke at work all the fucking time and no one understands it. I always have to go like, oh, it's from Superbad. Because like I'll always see somebody just sitting in our lunchroom by themselves like, oh, eating lunch like I'm fucking Steven Glansberg. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, it's a Superbad reference. No, you're 26. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they don't know at all. They don't know at all. Very, very embarrassing in my opinion. Very, very embarrassing.
Oppenheimer's good though. I would recommend Oppenheimer. It was good.
So I was gonna rent it, you know, it's Christmas break, it's that period between Christmas and New Year's where time's a flat circle. Who cares what you're doing? You could drink all day, you can drink every day if you want, doesn't matter. The scam now that they've got on demand is you can't rent Oppenheimer for like the $6 or whatever it is. They want you to buy the digital version for $25 to $30.
Right.
I don't want that.
No, just buy the Blu-ray at that point or like 4K.
But that's the same point,
and you keep it forever.
I don't know that I have a Blu-ray player.
That's the other
anymore.
Problem. That's where they get you, right? But that stuff's gonna start coming back around because I have started to buy physical media again. Because my tipping point was like last year. I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street in a minute. Like, well, let's just throw that on. It was like a Sunday afternoon kind of thing. Like, yeah, let's throw it on. not on, it is now, but at the time it wasn't on any fucking, I have Crave, I have Netflix, I have Amazon Prime, at the time I had fucking Discovery Plus, I have Shudder, like I have all of them. It wasn't on a single fucking streaming service. And I was like, how does this, it's like one of the most popular movies of the last 10 years and it's not on a single streaming service? Are you fucking kidding me? So I was like, nah, maybe I should start buying movies that I like and I know I'm going to rewatch a bunch so that I can rewatch them anytime I want.
It is a fun movie. You start watching that actually when you got back from the bar, then I don't know how far you got into it before you went to bed, but
no, I think I passed out pretty quick.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a great one.
Yeah.
Jordan Belfort in real life. Not as fun not as great. Leo DiCaprio.
Not great.
Not
still,
as fun.
Still have to run in scams, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. You like to see
pretty cool how the world works.
You like to see it. You want it? I don't want to touch on any of these other CPC. I don't even remember these. One, two, none of them are fun.
I was going to say, is there something about the Middle East, perhaps? Something happened over there that we...
Yeah, and Jeremy Renner got run over. Oh, yeah. Like, that's not fun to me.
No.
You know?
I mean, everything with Jeremy Renner is funny and weird, but, like, yeah, he did, like, almost kill himself trying to save someone else's life, so...
You know.
Not that funny.
I'm glad they're getting clicks out of it, though. Good for you, yeah. CBC, recounting all of this shit.
Well, that's where our tax dollars are going to.
Well, come on. You know? Come on. It's weird. Another year in the books.
We did it. It's fucking crazy. 2024, huh?
When do you go home?
29th.
Oh, no, so you still got a couple of days.
No, 29th. What's today? 27th?
So 27th today.
29th. Yeah, 29th.
I was like, oh, we're going to get a little banged up today and you go home tomorrow? Flying when you're hungover is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, no intention to do that. I mean, my flight's not till 7 o'clock, I think, so it's one of those later ones, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I was in Vancouver in September... We got banged up a couple of times and it's just, I don't drink much anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I know we're doing it on this podcast cause that's what I'm titling the podcast, but
'tis the season.
I don't like being hungover anymore.
No, same. No, I know.
So I was watching Mrs. Hungover for 2 straight days and I'm just like, well, at least I'm not you.
Dodge that bullet.
Yeah. At least I'm not you. You know?
Yeah, no, I don't have it in me anymore. Like it's the same. Cause like now, like, I mean, not that it wasn't always like this, but I could, you know, rally a little bit easier, but now it's like if I'm hungover, like this entire day is just nothing.
It's a whole day is written
just
off,
wasted.
I was happy that I wasn't as hungover as I thought I'd be. I woke up on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
But away she goes.
Yeah,
away she goes. What else you got going on? Well, fuck, we've been talking for a while already.
I don't know. What's
this bunch of bullshit? I suppose.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of bullshit.
Much. That's pretty much it for me. Playing COD, still playing COD a little bit. The new Call of Duty is way more fun than the last one. So.
Yeah, I need you to... Ugh. But then at the same point, like, I'm going to buy a PC so I can play some vids with you. Mm-hmm. What I already know is that period where you're learning the controls and just you're so bad.
Yeah.
Is going to drive me insane nuts.
Yeah. It's got a pretty good learning curve, I would say, because I was kind of worried about the same thing, but they've got some pretty casual modes. Like there's one mode called Plunder where like the whole objective is to just get the most money in the round. It's like a 20-minute round. You just go around doing contracts and collecting money and whoever has the most money at the end of the round wins kind of thing. And you just like, if you just respawn every time if you die, so there's no dying kind of thing. So for the first year that we played COD, like that was like exclusively the mode that we played for pretty much those reasons. So I was like, I'm not good at this. So I'm going to get super frustrated if we play just like multiplayer or BR and I'm just gonna get fucking
and some little kid kind of stab me and I'm gonna try to shoot, I'm gonna unload a clip at him, I'm not gonna hit him once and he's gonna come stab me in the throat.
And that's where I'm at now since I've gotten used to the game and better the game. But for the first year or so we play like the most casual game mode you can play and it's pretty fun, so I think you'll enjoy it. There's also, they got zombies in this one, which is also very casual. You just kind of run around shooting zombies.
We were talking about The Office earlier. I feel like I'm going to be Jim when he first moves to the other one, and he's just pointed at the corner and he can't figure out it. He can't figure out how to turn around.
It's
going to drive me nuts.
That was the thing, because I didn't start playing these games until 2020 when the pandemic hit, and I had nothing fucking better to do. But
what happened?
I can't remember. It's been a minute. I don't know. A lot of stuff closed for some reason. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But that was the whole thing. Is like I was like, I do not. I was never like an online gaming guy because of that, because I was like, everyone's going to be a fucking 13-year-old with like fast twitch muscle who's been playing this game since they were 2 years old, and they're just going to fucking shit all over me, and I'm going to hate my life and not have any fun and uninstall the game. So, but this one, like I said, this has like a pretty easy learning curve. Like our friend, our other friend that we play with, our mutual friend that we play with, still not very good. We've been playing the game for almost 4 years now, and he is still pretty bad.
So I think like the goal for me would be to try to pass him at some point.
Yeah. The bar is pretty, I wouldn't say low, but it's manageable. He has gotten better, but the bar is passable for sure.
What I was surprised by, so Christmas Day we go to Mrs. family to do dinner, whatever, and we're opening gifts or whatever. Her niece and nephew got a couple of games for their Switch, I think.
Yep.
And it comes in the case as you would expect, but when they opened it, it was just a download code.
Oh,
there's
really?
No actual game disc little thingy.
But they still sell the fucking cases.
You still get the case.
What?
I was just like, what is this?
Yeah. I understand like the digital part of it because they all have like their fucking,
yeah, you still get the case though.
Their stores and shit like that. You just go into the machine and download it, but that's okay.
I was very confused. Sure. But I was just like, is this the thing now?
Well, okay, because some of them, like I know there's like a version of the PlayStation where you can't put a disc in it. Like it's just digital.
Mm.
So maybe it's one of those things now where like the Nintendo Switch is also like,
what blows my mind is how much this shit is now.
I know. I almost bought a Nintendo Switch, but I was like, $400. Like, I'm not gonna play it nearly that much.
My two nieces have one. They love it. They're glued to those things.
Sure, yeah.
Because what was the one that everybody was playing during the pandemic where you build little worlds or whatever, like animal something?
Oh, Animal Crossing. Yeah. A bunch of people at work are playing Animal Crossing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But then they also play Call of Duty or Fortnite or whatever on the same device, so
yeah,
whatever.
Fortnite's cool. Fortnite you might get into as well. There's a Fortnite Lego mode that I haven't tried yet, but it looks fucking cool as hell. It looks very fun.
I am at least a decade removed from when I was last playing vids of any variety.
Yeah.
So it's gonna take a minute.
But and that's the shitty thing. On PC they don't release any of the NHL games. They're just console exclusive. So that fucking sucks.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
What is that move? Aren't they like cross platform now, a lot of these games?
Yeah. They're all cross platform, but for like the last 10
years. Except EA Sports.
Yeah. But Madden and FIFA, they're on PC, but not NHL.
So smarter leagues?
the actual popular ones.
The leagues that actually know how to promote themselves?
Yeah, the actual popular ones, they're on everything. But for some reason, they haven't released an NHL game on PC since like 2012 or something like that. Like
that's so ridiculous. You're cutting out an entire third of your market.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But what they did release and what I do still play off and on is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. The same game you love, although it's like kind of annoying because like I played those skate games for quite a while because those games are super fun and they're just like open world, so you can just kind of like cruise around whatever. Whereas like going back to like, oh, you have 2 minutes to like do the level is a little bit to get used to, but it's fun. It was like such a fun like throwback, nostalgia throwback.
I was trying to think of last Tony Hawk game I played was, I'm pretty sure it was an open world one, but it was obviously newer than those.
Yeah, like probably Underground or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever,
but yeah, they got the remastered versions on PC, and they're fun.
Those were fun
as hell.
The soundtracks were always good too.
Yeah.
Soundtracks were always good.
Yeah.
Speaking of NHL games, one of the last NHL games I'm going to say probably 2013 that I have for PlayStation 2. That's kind of where I checked out.
Sure.
I got to see Avenged Sevenfold this past summer. What would it have been? What song would it have been? Backcountry probably.
Backcountry or Nightmare or something.
Anyway. Man, they were great. They put on a great show.
Hell yeah.
I need to go to more metal shows is what I was saying. So upstairs, her birthday is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Yeah.
I was like, what should we do in your, well, like, what do you want to do? I know we're months away, but like, what do you want to do? Do you want to like go away or something? So I'm looking at events in town and I see something that to me beams like light from the heavens. I go, I've got plans for your birthday. And she goes, what is it? I was like, how do you feel about going to see Guar?
I was going to fucking say, but I was like, there's no way that they're going to go
so
see
Guar
fucking Guar
is here on her birthday.
Yes.
I don't know that I'm going to sell it.
No,
but we went to Guar.
Oh man, one of the best shows I've ever been to.
It was fun.
Maybe the best show I've ever been to.
I just watched their Tiny Desk concert. I know that's not new or anything, but I just watched it. Yeah. Man, it was fun because they really stripped down the songs that they played, and it was fun.
It was just fun watching them, and there are six of them in their giant fucking costumes crammed behind a little desk.
Yeah,
they're great. Yeah, if you have a chance to go see Guar live, I would highly recommend going to see
Guar live.
Gotta
go see Guar live.
One of the best live shows you'll ever see. It's so good.
Oh, you must have got refunded by your Rage tickets by now. Or are those still lingering?
Yeah, I got, I'm pretty sure. That's my Don Quixote quest is to fucking
that's my Everest.
See rage before I fucking die. God damn it.
That's my Everest is rage.
I still remember sitting there in the office, like trying to buy tickets and like panicking and like the site was freezing. And then a guy across on the other side of the wall was like, oh, I got mine. I was like, fuck you, Kevin. Fuck. I was trying to get it. And then I finally got them. I was like, oh, I cannot wait. And then fucking COVID hit. And I was like, well, What 3 months? I guess we're going to be fucking out of this thing. Like we're fucking whatever. Like they'll just push it back, and then fucking like 3 years later, like yeah, sorry. Like here's your money back.
Zach DeLaRocca broke his leg
or
something.
Snapped like all of the tendons in his knee. Like the first.
But they're still going to end off the. They're still going to finish the U.S. portion of the.
Well, because it was literally their first night on tour. He snapped like every tendon in his leg. They're like, well. What are we gonna do? And he just sat down on a riser or whatever all night and screamed his songs, screamed his little songs.
So mine was, there were not many tickets left to the Edmonton show, so I bought I didn't buy good tickets. I just wanted to go see Rage,
yeah.
So I was super pumped. And then weeks later, because I was late to the party, I'm finding out they were here. Weeks later, I'm like, email update from Rage Against the Machine. I'm like, no. Yep.
I think I got three of those emails where it was like, tour dates change, and tour canceled. And I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me, man?
I didn't realize how much I missed live music until not being able to go to it again. So sure. I said the first concert was Mariana's Trench, but this last year I went and saw a handful of shows and I just missed it.
Yeah.
Going to see City in Color in 6 weeks, I think.
Nice.
Excited about that. I went and saw Avenged Sevenfold mentioned, Blink I went and saw, and then Mrs. is a big fan of Volbeat. I couldn't have named a Volbeat song ever in my life. And
they
then
are like quintessential NHL soundtrack band, Volbeat. Like that's all I think about. I don't know. I also couldn't name a single song, but
they were fun though.
I just associate them with the NHL soundtrack.
So we go into Rogers' place for that show, and I'm looking around. I'm like, fuck, a lot of people like Volbeat, I guess, huh?
If they're playing at Rogers, yeah, it turns out. pretty popular.
Everywhere. Then I went and saw Tool. Bands, Tool's great.
Oh, yeah, that's a band.
They were ridiculous. So again, shout out to Uncle Kerry at Trilogy Oil Field Rentals. He took me to Tool with him, and it was a blast.
Hell yeah.
So much fun. That is probably one of the top 10 most hungover I've been in recent memories the day after Tool.
Worth it though. Yeah. Worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I drank a lot of red wine that night.
Yeah.
A lot of red wine.
Wine summit at this Tool concert.
Well, you got to. Well, two beers in. And one, two beers,
one and a quarter beers in.
Oh, he's still got a minute. Then we're gonna kill time until we're done. We're just gonna see how sloppy we get by the end of. We've been chatting for an hour and 18 minutes.
Yeah, fuck, it's nothing. I could do another hour.
Oh, easy.
Steph, bring some beers down.
Easy, we could do another hour. Fuck, it's weird now. I remember when we first did North by North Gretz, and that podcast. You know, it had its run, it had its life, but. Thinking back about how we recorded it, there was a little kind of recorder
Zoom
that we
recorder,
had.
The H3 Zoom.
And there was a splitter out of it, and it sounded okay,
yeah.
But the main distribution was SoundCloud.
Yeah.
We were like rappers.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And now we're sitting here, and like I've got the Rodecaster, obviously, and I can push buttons if I want.
It's lit up like a fucking Christmas tree.
It is fun. And mostly I think what I've learned is I just like pushing faders and down.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a bunch of like little PC peripherals. I've got like a little like an audio mixer, not fucking like that, but it's got like all the different knobs on it with a little screen.
Well, your thing is records, though.
Yes,
your record collection is becoming immense.
Yes, it's becoming. And speaking of Legs on Fire or City in Color, Legs on Fire, it was to the surprise of absolutely nobody, or to me anyway, got pushed back by 6 weeks. So I'm hoping to get it. Hoping to get it in the new year sometime, because that'll be sick. Legs on Fire box set.
I saw Alexis on Fire for the first time. They opened for Avenged Sevenfold. Man,
that was
the
first time you've seen them.
First time ever. It was a lot of fun.
Were they not?
I just had never, like, I know you had gone before.
Oh, I've seen them like five
and gotten
or six
invited
times.
Before. I just never gone to see it. They weren't really my band.
Yeah. They weren't my band for a long time. And then I one day just kind of clicked and I was like, oh, these guys are fucking awesome.
But I think.
Were they not there? It was Under Oath in the Used. Was Alexis on Fire not there that day?
I don't remember that. I remember that show. I don't remember Alexis on Fire though.
The Used was the headliner and Under Oath was there for them because I was so stoked to see Under Oath. I could have sworn Alexis on Fire was there that night. Maybe not.
I don't remember. Not that I remember, anyway.
You guys immediately, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to Under Oath. You guys were like, we'll meet you in the beer garden.
Yeah, but, that, because that, like, I was very much pop punk at that time, like, or like, you know, My Chemical Romance, like the screaming I wasn't into.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alexis on Fire. So my plan is, knock on wood, make it all work as long as I can save my pennies. I want to go to Toronto to see Blink again in August.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And Alexis on Fire opens for them there.
Oh, really? No shit.
So now that I've seen them and kind of know what to expect, I'm super into it.
Yeah.
Because the new album is also really good.
It is, yeah.
And it's not as screamy as it used to be. And no. I think that's why I like it.
Yeah. They're older now too, right? And they've, their sensibilities have changed quite a bit. So
we went to that show in the summer. And then I went out to the lake. My sister's got a cabin out by Lac St. Anne. And we went out there and we were just playing music. Just, I was being DJ for the night. We were playing essentially YouTube roulette, but without YouTube.
Right.
So I'm putting on Alexis on Fire songs, like some of the more mellow ones. And she goes, "That guy, he really sounds like the guy from City in Color." And I go, "Yeah, he does. He does." She goes, "Wild how two guys can sound exactly the same." I'm like, "It is wild how they can sound exactly the same." And then upstairs, again, favorite band on earth is Alexis on Fire.
Yeah.
So her mind is exploding into fucking, it's like into goo.
She just wants to say something.
She goes, "It is the same guy."
But like, I guarantee that happens all the fucking time. Oh, sure. City in Color is like so much more popular than I think we would realize, like, especially in America. Like,
City in Color's playing at Rogers Place, like, really? As the headliner.
Holy shit. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. Like, I would never have thought, I would have thought maybe like the Jubilee or something like that. But like, yeah, that's, so I feel like that happens all the time.
Has to. My favorite, like, part about going to see
him. Oh, he's in another band? When asked him when?
Yeah, and he's very, very soft and he's got an acoustic guitar in his hand. My favorite part, though, is when I went to that concert, he, obviously Alexis on Fire comes out on stage and I go, "Is that Dallas Green?" Because in my head, I'm still thinking of like the clean shaven little cut earrings guy.
No, he's got long hair, long beard, or at least last time I saw him. The last time he looks like he did like an interview with like Ryan O'Reilly or something like that on Sportsnet, and I was like, okay. Like, yeah, it just looks like he came straight from the fucking, from like the Quebec Maple Fields or something like that. Just strolled right on in to do this interview.
It happens, you know? As long as he's still married to Leah Miller, that's all I care about.
Oh,
we were talking about, so I was in Toronto a little while ago, I guess March or something, doesn't matter. But our boy Eric Johnson, he picked me up at the hotel and we just went for lunch and he goes, "I want to just show you some stuff around Toronto." I'm like, "Great, this is awesome." And he goes, so we drive by the building. He goes, "Do you recognize it?" I'm like, "Oh, is that Much Music?
Was it 23 Queen Street East?"
Yeah, something like that. And I see the building, I'm like, "Oh my God, what happens in there now?" He goes, "Nothing." Yeah,
they just played 17 episodes of South Park a day.
But isn't it wild though that when we were growing up, Much Music had like some of the shows they used to have outside of that building?
Oh my God. I used to like, that used to be like appointment viewing, like sitting at home on like Saturday night and watching live at Much. And it was like, they got some huge fucking bands there. Like, thinking back to like
the one I always remember the most is when they shut down the street for Kid Rock, when he was like American Badass Kid Rock.
American
next one, okay, American Badass Kid Rock, where he was just like huge. Yeah. And I go, man. And then you drive by there and it's just like the building is the same. It's the one I remember, but.
Fuck, I'm trying. Because
I'm not going to Electric Circus. I can tell you that much.
Oh my God. I just recently was watching like a live at Much. I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was the same thing where I was like, yeah, like they at least one lane was closed off. There's like 1,000 kids outside screaming for whatever fucking band it was. Was it Smashing Pumpkins or something? I can't remember. But man, those used to be so fucking cool.
They were so much fun.
And like the Much Music Video Awards were also very cool.
Yeah, the VMAs were great.
Surprisingly.
They were. I remember.
Being Much Music.
Yeah, I remember them being great.
And the other one that I used to always look forward to was Weird Al Day, whenever Weird Al would take over Much Music for the day. Al TV. I used to love that. That was fully my shit.
That was also how I just found most of the music I liked at the time.
Yeah. That was how I got into Nirvana.
The Combat Day Clip.
Yeah, Combat Day Clip. Yeah. But yeah. Combat Day Clip. And
I remember it was like 50 cents or 75 cents or something to vote in Combat Day Clip.
Right.
And I was at my mom's house for the summer and I really wanted Korn Freak on a Leash to win. And so I remember calling in like 20 times, not recognizing what that means to somebody's phone bill. And she goes, were you calling a 1-800 number over and over again? I go, no, I was calling Much Music. She goes, well, that was about 75 cents a call just to vote on fucking Korn Freak on a Leash,
which is funny because I'm pretty sure it's Freak on a Leash was like the, it's like the all-time longest run on TRL. Because they did the same thing. I was like, kind of like, I don't know if they stole it from Combat Day Clip. I think they must have. I think Combat Day Clip had been around for a long time. But it was the same thing where it was like two videos or whatever, like the number one video every week kind of thing. And Korn, they had to like retire. Korn was the first video they had to retire because it was on for so long. Like, all right, we just need to put something else on here now.
Well, give
someone else a chance.
The video is the Todd McFarlane video, yeah, the whole thing is fun.
Yeah. That album's awesome.
It is still great.
Actually, you know what? The album's not awesome. The singles on that album. The rest of the album, there's some fucking stinkers on that album.
There are. Yeah. I bet well, it's been a minute now. Like BBK, Big Black Cock.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was probably going to fly for me like it used to.
All 14. The Family definitely certainly does not hit the same way it used to.
Come on, man. That was like one of my introductions into hip hop.
Which is
a weird thing to say, but it's accurate.
Pumpkin pie. I'll jack off in your eye. just poets of our generation.
I like seeing clips now because unfortunate podcast confession, I spend way too much time on TikTok. And Limp Bizkit clips make the round every now and then.
Sure.
And you see Fred Durst wearing this weird wig now that he starts to do. Wes Borland still does his thing, but they do fun covers now at Limp Bizkit. So they'll go like, Wes, hit us up with the cover. And he'll start playing literally anything and they just play it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. I would love to see them live. That's one band that I haven't ever seen live that I would still to this day go like
I'll go
that in a heartbeat.
I just rewatched their set from Woodstock 99 long ago.
Yeah, classic.
Again, YouTube on my TV is the greatest thing I've ever had.
The last Limp Bizkit clip I saw, Fred, was dressed full cowboy regalia.
Well, you got
cowboy hat, like the shirt tucked in with the jeans and the boots and shit. I mean, I like that's like because like, they've always been obviously with the fucking name and the album names. They've always been somewhat of a joke band, but like it's just fun that even in 2023, like they're just wholeheartedly embracing it. You know what I mean? Like they're not even trying anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like we're like the fun old novelty act, and I'm gonna wear ridiculous fucking costumes on stage, just like Wes always.
You sent me, I think you bought, what was it, Significant Other, you bought on vinyl?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I listened to that album. There's a lot of shit on that one too.
That's quintessential like 90s to 2000s album where like the first six tracks are just banger after banger after banger, and then the second half of the album is just like, fuck, we need to fill this album up so that we can charge $20 for it, otherwise we don't have a full album. Like the last, like that's what I laughed when I saw, when I looked at the, when I opened it, I looked at the track listing and like the
like no sex.
Yeah. You should have kept my hands on this time. God, what a lyricist.
Yeah,
but when I because it's like it's a double LP, so on the D side there's like three songs and it's like just the three most skippable songs. So it's like, what is even the point of playing that side of the album?
The best part at the end of it,
Ben Stiller fucking voicemail or whatever.
Yeah, the best part of it was like the hidden song. Remember when albums used to have hidden songs? Hit Me Firecracker
Well, and then that one too, like the Significant Other CD, like the songs would play like backwards in between the tracks, like the lead up to like break stuff or whatever. Like that would like be like the little 30-second hidden track that would play. The time would count down, and then the regular track would start.
Yeah, that was good stuff. It is funny now, like depending on my ads for my algorithm, I'd be like, do you want the new Blink 182 on cassette? I'm like, ooh, not really.
That's a weird thing. Cassettes have come back in a big way too. Like it's all nostalgia stuff. We're like, oh,
I get it, but like, do we forget how shitty tapes are?
Yeah. And like, what are you listening to that on? I mean, I guess I did see like they're bringing back Walkmans. Like there's companies that are now making like bespoke Walkmans and shit like that.
I hope my old Sanyo still works.
Yeah.
I got it in the 90s.
The classic yellow Sony Walkman is for me.
Perfect. Perfect. I also need a 40-second anti-skip on my Discman.
You know what? So I had one of those, and I was cleaning out the cat's litter box, and I was just listening to music, and it slipped out of my short pockets and hit the ground. Didn't fucking skip. The anti-skip worked. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it. It like fell and just hit the floor and just kept on going. I was like, oh my God, that's incredible.
My brother used to have this thing in his car where it was the adapter where you plug something into the Discman and then into the
cassette
tape.
Yeah.
But he had it velcroed to his dash, and that motherfucker skipped all the time. So he had to go buy an anti-skip Discman just so he could listen to tunes in his car. And I was like, man, this is the most advanced tech I've ever seen.
I had one of those like where you plug the fake cassette in. I also had one of the earlier ones you put in the top of the iPod and then you tune it to the radio station. Oh, the nice. Specific radio station.
Yeah, the FM transmitter.
And like I had to have it in like a certain part of my truck and like angle it a certain way or else it would be like kind of it would cut in and out. If I had it leaned to the one particular spot in my cup holder, it was fine. It's crazy how far we've come. Satellites in our cars now, you know? Who would have thought?
Well, so we were talking about at work the other day, we were talking about the BlackBerry movie. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I did. I really enjoyed it. It was good.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. So that part where they're, you know, they're in the BlackBerry office and they're doing the iPhone unveil. And they go, oh.
Yeah. Where's the keyboard?
It's funny to think about that now because, like I said earlier, I just got a new iPhone, the 15.
Yeah.
And there's so much space on this thing.
Yeah.
That you can put whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'll watch movies on it. I got all the music I need. And then I remember like my first iPod, I could get 12, 13, 14 songs on that thing, maybe.
Yeah. Like the first like era of like MP3 players were like, yeah, like 256 megabytes.
Yeah.
That's like two CDs worth.
Maybe. And I had to wait an hour for each song to download.
Yeah, yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone got LimeWire? What's your LimeWire username?
I was talking to my niece about that shit. She's 21, my youngest niece.
Right.
Which is wild shit,
oh my God.
Which is wild that she's 21.
Yes. Yep.
But I was just like, well, I ruined our compact presario at my dad's house with all the LimeWire.
Yeah, we were talking about that at lunch today. Yeah, like downloading like off sketchy websites and sketchy torrent files. Or like the thing that you would do where you would download a song and then it would not be what you were looking for.
No, it would be named
something different. You'd be like, this is not what I wanted at all.
Yeah.
Or like the ones, my favorite ones were always the ones where it's like Korn plus Limp Bizkit plus Linkin Park. Plus,
oh,
plus.
God like, damn, this is a collab.
Like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And then it was just like some random band that you'd never heard of, but they were like, no, this is what we sound like. We are trying to be these bands.
Thinking back, it's embarrassing the artist I downloaded the most in those days. I know what it is for sure because I remember just the list on my dad's computer was never ending. I had so many ICP songs downloaded.
Hell yeah.
So recently I was like, oh man, ICP, I forgot they existed. So I went back and listened to a bunch of those. I was like, this is garbage. But I loved it.
Yeah. Well, because it was just like different. Like I never listened to it back then, but it was just like it was just different, and like it was specifically made to piss your parents off. Like it was like that type of music.
Yeah. Though I would like to attend the gathering. I don't think they do it anymore. The gathering of the Juggalos.
I think
one of them had a heart problem.
Yeah.
Violent J, I believe.
I feel like they did it this year.
I've always wanted to go, but via proxy.
Sure, yeah. I don't want to actually go there.
No, I don't want to be there. But like, if I could be a drone type creature lingering around in the mix, that's where I'd like to be.
I would go to an ICP show, though. I would check that out. But I would like it to be kind of similar to how we saw Gwar, where I got to stand up on a balcony.
Yeah, I don't want to get sprayed with Faygo.
Just look down upon the seething masses.
Yeah, I'd like to do that too. What other bands do you want to see?
I bought tickets to Idols. I'm very excited to see Idols in the new year.
That'd be cool.
I just got into them a couple years ago. So
you've seen them before, and I've always wanted to, and they just came back kind of in the news cycle because they kicked Jay Weinberg out. I'd always wanted to see Slipknot.
Yeah. I saw them once, and it was a combination of like the seats where we were at, but I also think just where they were at kind of in terms of their career. Like the show was like kind of mediocre. The thing that really saved it was the Deftones opened for them, which is that's crazy to think about, right? But the Deftones were fucking amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
They were so fucking good. So I think they also maybe set the bar a little bit too high that when Slipknot came on, I was like, it's okay. Like, you know, but it was also like I listened to that live album like a bunch of times and I was like, I already kind of knew what to expect kind of thing. And maybe if I went in more fresh, it would have been kind of cooler. But I was like, yeah, like it was fine. Like, I don't know. Like
you don't want the opener to outshine you in your concert.
But it's pretty impossible when your opener is the fucking Deftones.
Yeah. That was like when I went and saw Tool and their opener. I can't remember what the fucking guy's name is now, but he was just one guy who kind of looked like Jack Black playing by himself.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That's an opener right there.
Yeah. Literally just music to let people like file in and
file
get their beers
and get a drink.
And then the show opens and just, you know, keep the energy up, you know?
Yeah. Although again, like Alexis on Fire before Avenged Sevenfold was fantastic.
I can see that. Yeah. Cause they're great live. They've always,
they had a great pick going too. And there was a lot of people there. You could tell were there to see Alexis on Fire. Like Avenged Sevenfold was the bonus you got to see after.
Well, because that album was like so divisive. Like you know this, but like well, that yeah. album was insanely divisive.
Well, that was one of the weird parts about that concert was so they ended it with the G.O.D. medley, yeah, which I thought was a great slash hilarious fuck you
choice.
But people, as the first started, like, and I actually really liked that medley. I thought it was just it was interesting and it was fun because I wasn't a huge Avenged Sevenfold. Like our friend Travis in our group chat, he was just like, "This album, I don't know, man." Yeah. I was like, "Really? I'm super into it." But you saw people flooding out of Roger's place.
Oh yeah,
that part.
I bet, yeah. Because I was going through because people were doing year end lists and I was like, what was my favorite album of 2023? And it's probably that Avenged Sevenfold album. Like that came out of nowhere because I'm the same way where I was like, I liked Backcountry, I liked the singles,
yeah, the hits,
the singles off City of Evil. Like that was kind of cool. But then like after that, I was like, oh, they're just kind of putting out the same album every time, huh? Like, all right, I'm not this. It wasn't really my thing. Like, I didn't dislike them.
Because I remember sending it to you.
Yeah, and you were like, you should check this album out. I was like, really? Avenged Sevenfold. I was like, okay, and I listened to it. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is like, but in the best way. Like, it was like the craziest surprise I've had in music in a long time. I was like, this is incredible.
That was, I mean, had it not been for the new Blink album, that would have been my number one on my rap with a bullet, like easy.
Yeah.
I still listen to it. I love that album.
Same. Yeah. It was been showing up on my Spotify off and on at work a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should listen to that album.
The problem I had with it when I went and saw it is that I really liked the new album, but there was a bunch of the big songs that I didn't really know all that well. Like I knew Nightmare and I knew Backcountry and I knew Hail to the King and all that stuff. But like there was the big ones like, what's that weird one called? I'm going to find it now. Anyway, I didn't know those well enough to kind of appreciate them live. But then I did one of that thing where you see a band live and you go, man, they crush. And then I fell down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
A Little Piece of Heaven as an example.
Yeah, I don't even
that's the one that. Where like the lyrics are so weird. There's like there's necrophilia in it. There's murder in it. Hell there's drug abuse in it. And it's just so weird. But like watching them play it, the place is going bananas because that's what they closed before the encore.
Oh, okay.
So for the hardcores, that was the last song they listened to, and then they left.
Right. It's like, oh, I know what's coming next, and I don't need to be here.
I'd heard it, but I was just like, now that I listened to it a bunch of times, I go, man, this song is so fun. It's so weird. Buried Alive is another one that ends with that like long guitar solo.
Okay. Yeah. You see, that's like in like the Lost Avenged Sevenfold years.
That's me too. I've heard the song before, but I couldn't recite the lyrics. Right. It was one of those. But then when I saw like that was the fun part about Blink because it was a Friday night when I saw them, and it was everybody our age because we're the only ones that could afford tickets.
Sure.
But everybody was there to party.
Yeah,
everybody knew all the words because the new album was out not out yet.
You're right.
So it was just 90 minutes of pure joy and just real nostalgia kind of going.
Oh yeah.
There's
a lot of that going on now. A lot of the nostalgia tours. A lot of bands are coming back. I mean, Blink, obviously.
It was funny that Vegas festival when we were young.
Yeah. When we were young.
It's like, okay, we get it. We're in our late 30s now. Shut up.
That lineup was pretty sick last
year. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Our buddy John was mentioning, like, maybe we go to Vegas for the one next year. I was like, I'm up. I'm open for it.
I would go. I was jealous I didn't go this year.
I don't know that I could stand doing a 3-day festival, but I guess in Vegas it would probably be easier because you just go back to your fucking hotel.
Whereas if I had to
camp or something, it probably wouldn't be. It would be a no go.
I am long past that. Like
Big Valley Jamboree.
My niece went to Big Valley, and I'm just like, how was it? Because now she's in her 30s, right? My oldest niece.
And fuck. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Fuck.
Yeah. So she went, and I'm like, how was it? She goes, it was so loud and everybody's partying. And she's like, I was in the family zone and everybody was loud. I was like,
even that night last week when we went out and I like woke up the next day and I had a bit of a headache and I was like, well, it's probably because like, a little bit hungover, but I was like, I think part of it was because the music at the Pint was so fucking loud.
It was banging in there.
It was so loud. I was like, has it always been this loud in here?
Because we were having conversations and all of a sudden we're yelling at each other.
Yeah. And that was the thing that we noticed our friend Chris and I were talking about. Soundtrack. The exact same songs that they've been playing for it all came full circle. Like they were playing like Usher and like
Flo Rida and all that,
and Flo Rida and shit. And I was like, oh, this music's still popular with like club going people.
Holy shit,
that's incredible. You talk about like lasting appeal. Holy shit!
One of the last times I was in Vegas, we went to Fremont Street and I watched arguably one of the greatest cover bands I've seen, and all they were playing was those bangers from like that mid 2000s kind of like the big ones. And I was just like, this is the greatest day of my life.
I guess most of those people are now kind of turning 30. Like people that kind of grew up with that music are like late 20s. So I guess, again, it kind of makes sense how everything kind of comes around full circle. But I just was like, every song that came on, it was like, yeah, like they played a lot of Black Eyed Peas.
A ton of Black Eyed Peas.
And I was like, okay, I mean, I guess. Like this is literally the same shit they were playing here in 2008, but like, all right, cool.
Yeah, still in. People still works.
People still like to get it started in here, you know?
Yep. Forget the first one.
What do you mean?
Try and find it on the internet.
What first one?
You can't find it. I don't know how
What could they have changed?
I would love to know how they approached that problem.
Of like trying to scrub the internet of like the original song?
Yeah, because you can't really find it. You can find it, but you can't not easily.
Because I feel, I think it kind of came out in that time where, like, obviously there was digital music, but, like, it wasn't as, like, prominent as it is now. So, like, it's stuff like that probably was, like, a little bit easier to kind of get lost in the fray. And it's like, well, the only version that you can buy on iTunes is the new version. The other version just doesn't exist. And, like, no one was buying CDs back then and shit like that. So I just probably just kind of like slowly disappeared. Like so many things on the internet, you know, that's like so funny. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Cause like when we were growing up, kind of like the adage was like, everything on the internet lasts forever. If you're on the internet doing this, it will last. And it's like, no, all that shit's gone. Like every picture you had on your fucking Facebook in 2007 is gone. Like all your hyperlinks are gone.
Yeah.
Like everything just disappears.
I still can't log into my Nexopia profile.
Yeah, fuck, that's bullshit.
And you know what? Punk Rock Vids does not work. I'm looking right now.
Punk Rock Vids on net? Oh, no.
Yeah. It's no longer there. That's how I found, like, that's, well, you showed me that website originally. That's where I would go to watch literally everything. Yeah.
That's how I discovered a lot of bands that I still listen to today.
Yeah. See if there's a typo in your URL. Punkrockvids.net does not exist.
Fuck.
Meatspin's still up though.
Oh, well, that'll never. See, that's one thing on the internet that will never die. There'll always be a market for Meatspin. If you're not familiar with Meatspin, please, I urge you to go to meatspin.com.
My favorite now is that
right now on your work computer.
My favorite is that they've got a running counter for how many spins.
Yeah, they've had that for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, they've had that for a while. So we are now at 4,700 page views today.
Where's the spin?
86 million overall page views.
Where is it? I can't see it. Where is it?
We'll find it.
No, it's not on it.
We'll find 4.8 million shares. So there's a lot of assholes out there.
I think it's like a hyperlink, isn't it? There's like you have to click on another one.
Let me see.
Oh, no, there it is.
You sat through 91 spins.
There it is. And I mean, like, looking at it again, like it's definitely that was like, you know, like that type of thing is like a lot more acceptable today. But back in the early 2000s, that's kind of groundbreaking stuff right there.
Well, I'm waiting for rotten.com to come back. Dead link there too.
Oh yeah. I remember looking at that with you in our fucking high school library.
Yeah.
rotten.com.
There's always the one joke. If you're a certain age, if you went, "Jeeves, fetch me my weed whacker," you can see the image in your head.
Oh, just like one of these like pain Olympic type things.
No, it was a lady with a large set.
Sure.
Of pubis.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember that one. I remember Tub Girl.
Oh no.
Remember.
So the other day, I don't know why this came up, but we were talking about Two Girls One Cup.
Yep.
And cuz that's been a minute too.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever happened to those girls?
Oh yeah.
One of them, so I found an article, it was like Vice or something. One of them, very, very proud of the video.
Sure.
The other one refuses to be interviewed.
Sure.
I don't know why.
Yeah, who knows?
But the other one was just like, yeah, it was a great time in my life. I got really famous for a little while.
I'm pretty sure the guy that like made that went to jail for a minute.
Why?
I don't know. It's because fucking woke. Because woke in 2007 or something. I don't know. Something like
you
that.
You can't handle your shit, internet. Well, it happens.
Literally.
It happens. Yeah. Yep. There's photos that came back up recently when we used to remember three-man parties.
Of course, yeah. That's exactly what I was picturing when you brought up Two Girls, One Cup. It was a four-man party that night.
Yeah, it was a four-man party. So essentially what happened was when I first moved out of my dad's house, I lived with one of our friends?
He was at the time. Now it's a question mark because he has disappeared off the face of the earth. Try at the time, him. He was our friend.
So we used to have these three-man parties, which essentially was three of us used to show up at my condo and just get hammered for no reason at all.
Play NHL 08 or no, like 05?
Whatever it was. And then we would watch shit like that. And there's a photo, there's an album on my Facebook of we're all tagged in it of watching that for the first time.
Because I had already seen it. And so I took a bunch of pictures of these guys watching it for the first time. And they're great. They're fucking great pictures.
I hadn't seen it. It's an experience.
Yeah.
Don't Google
I only
that.
And then when I say I saw maybe 25 seconds of it before I went, okay, well, I get it. I get the gist of it. And it's still seared into my brain. Like, I can still vaguely kind of picture it.
What do you kill time on the internet doing now? Because, like, is E-Bombs World still a thing?
No. Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Surprisingly, it is.
Yeah, and it's still there.
And the
the whistle tip got woo.
Oh, man. Holy shit. Bub Rub and Lil Sis. Wow.
Should be up making breakfast with somebody.
Because I uploaded a video on there from our friend's soccer game, and that was on there for a long time. And I checked again like a decade ago, and it was still on there. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, E-Bombs World just looks like what the Chive used to be. Remember that website?
Of course. Keep coming Chive on.
Yeah, it just looks like what the Chive used to be.
I think the Chive is still around.
29 memes and tweets to deal with after Christmas limbo.
Oh, no.
So it's like a BuzzFeed-y kind of thing now.
All I need to get me through this dead time is my memes. I just need my memes to get me into the new year.
Oh, I see. Oh, College Rules is not what our... Well, no, wait. College Rules is porn, wasn't it?
Yeah, College Rules
was
always porn.
What was the College Humor?
College Humor.
Yeah,
imagine if it was all cocaine, we'd be dead right now.
Fuck.
See, again, something that disappeared off the internet.
I've tried to find that many times.
I feel the more the years pass, the more I think maybe we're just Mandela affecting it. Even though we both remember it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe it never existed in the first
place. The line I always remember is, this snow is all cocaine, we'd all be dead, am I right?
Yeah. It was like some weird little web cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, College Rules is still active. Very active from what I can see. College Humor is struggling to load here.
Well, what do you, I mean, I read defector.com, the
oh, that's good. The buzz, what was
Deadspin?
It called? Yeah, the Deadspin spinoff.
The Phoenix of Deadspin. I mean, like, that's pretty much it. Just YouTube. Like, I watch just so much fucking YouTube. I just watch random shit on YouTube all the time.
What's like a thing you watch on YouTube that you wouldn't expect? As an example, this was a lot during the pandemic. I would watch walking tours of places I want to travel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I find them very relaxing.
So on that same token, there's a channel called Dancing Bacons. There's a guy based in Japan, and he just does these like POV videos of him like going to like different restaurants in Japan or like the crazy vending machine stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Those like where you get like whatever.
That's cool.
So I watch Dancing Bacons is a good one. They go to like little hotspot places or like... the like ramen shops where like they don't like no one will make eye contact with you or like say anything to you, just like hand them a piece of paper and they just like hand you the soup or whatever. Like so watch a lot of that. I guess that's kind of like the most random one that I watch, Dancing Bacons.
I watch like a lot of I don't really get in the weeds all that much, but I do watch a lot of like the popular stuff, like First We Feast, like the Hot Ones show is fun.
Yeah, I haven't watched that for a long time. I was like early on Hot Ones, but
yeah,
I haven't watched it for quite a while.
I think you turned me on to it, but like the most recent one is funny because it's Steve-O.
Right.
And his party trick to end it off is he sticks the bottle in his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sean Evans is just sitting there like, okay, yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, you gotta kind of expect that when you're having Steve on, I think, right? That I do, like, I haven't seen him in quite a while, but there was a few years there where, like, clips from his podcast would come up, and I would watch those ones, and he's sober now, but other than that, still the same fucking guy.
I watch a lot of Drumeo videos.
Oh, yeah,
As it turns out, I really like watching artists hear a song, which I don't understand how they've never heard some of these massive songs before. Yeah. Like the guy from Megadeth, he goes, Mr. Brightside, I've never heard this song before. It's like,
really?
Okay.
Really?
But anyway, they give their own interpretation on it. I like that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Those Drumeo ones are cool.
I watch a lot of concerts.
Sure.
Tons of concerts. This, like, again, going back to punk rock vids, is one of those things where I wish I would have had access to full concerts back then, although I had dial-up, so it would have taken 6 days to download it.
Yeah, but exactly, yeah.
Still, I love that. Love concerts on YouTube.
My barber always recommends full concerts on YouTube as well. He's like, oh, yeah, you check this band out. They got the full concert on YouTube.
Well, there's interesting ones that are just the bands are shutting down. So, like, NoFX is an example.
Right.
Yeah, they're on their like final tour.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I watched a NoFX. So I watched a NoFX concert and I go, I should probably go to this if they come through, and they're coming. So I go, I'll go to NoFX next summer.
I saw them at Warped Tour 1 year and they were pretty good. It was like, it was funny too, because like, unsurprisingly, because Warped Tour is only, the sets were only what, 20 minutes or 25 minutes a piece or something like that.
I never went to Warped Tour ever.
So yeah, so it was like, it was, you know, whatever. Like every 20 minutes, like a new band started, like they were like really small sets, but. Of course, NoFX played like 30 songs.
Yeah.
They were like,
that's all you need.
They were like, oh, we got like 6 minutes left. Like, all right, we can cram in 10 more songs. And they just fucking went right to it. And I was like, that's awesome. That's so
Sum 41's on their Victory Lap tour.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Is Steve-O in the band back, or is he still selling real estate?
Yeah, I think he's still selling real estate. But I followed him on Instagram recently. And he's got like a YouTube channel where he does drum covers, because he hasn't played, he hadn't played drums in a decade.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He just kind of put them away.
Huh.
When did his thing, raised a family or whatever. So now he's getting back into playing drums.
Right.
And when the announcement came up that Sum 41 was breaking up, he goes, you know what? This is my favorite Sum 41 song. I haven't played it in 10 years. Here we go. And I'm like, this is fascinating.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
So I'm going to go see them whenever they come through.
Hell yeah.
That'll be probably the 11th or 12th time I've seen them.
We've seen them a bunch of times.
So, love live music on YouTube.
I saw them on one of their very first tours, where like we didn't even know who there was. My first concert ever, Somersault tour in 99. Yeah, summer of 99, I think it was. Maybe me and our aforementioned question mark friend went to that concert, and it was my first ever concert, and like fuck. A lot of indelible memories there, but like one of the first. So it's at Commonwealth,
so
giant thing with the giant stages all set up, and we walk in. It's just the two of us. My parents, I must have been like 13. So my parents were like, yeah, okay, fine, you can go to a concert by yourself kind of thing. It's a whole daytime thing. And we walk in and it's like overwhelming. So I'm like, okay, let's just like sit down and just kind of like get our bearings and just kind of like see what's going on. And like within 2 minutes of us sitting there, fucking security is like dragging up someone who's having like a seizure and like foaming at the mouth because they had like OD'd on something. And I was like, okay, like what the fuck are we getting ourselves into? But then we finally made our way down onto the ground and started walking around. And then we were like, there's this little tiny side stage at the very side. And we were just like, okay, let's just go see what's going on here. There's a new band's about to go on. Let's go. And this guy comes out in a leopard print thong,
and
a cut off shirt and a fucking mullet wig. And we're like, what the fuck? And they're like, we're Sum 41 from Ajax, Ontario. And they just start going into it. And we're like, well, okay, like, what the fuck is this? So that was the first time I ever saw Steve-O from Sum 41.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why he didn't want to do that forever.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. That is wild to think about, though. Like, I get it. Like, obviously, like, I've never been in that position, but like, I can understand, like, okay, I've been on the road for, you know, 15 years at that point.
Probably like, going hard in the paint, too.
You're like 17 years old. You're like a full-time touring musician. And after a while, you're like, yeah, I'm kind of done with this for now. I want like a little bit more stability and like a little bit more normalcy. Like,
makes sense.
But it also, on the other side, you're like, man, that's like the coolest fucking job in the world. You're like this massive band. Like,
yeah, playing you're a little rock
in front of tens of thousands of people every night. But yeah, it's whenever like those guys like dip out, it's like, oh. But at least he did it like kind of the quote-unquote like right way. Like he had already like made his nut and like did everything, like checked everything off the fucking box that you could possibly check off. Like, didn't they play like with Metallica on that like that MTV
something like that? Like, one of the last times I saw Sum 41 was very like random. I went to see Motley Crue and Sum 41 open for Motley Crue, and I was like, well,
I mean, that makes sense for them because they were a huge Motley Crue
huge metalhead, so it made sense. But I was just, okay, here I am, I'm gonna see Sum 41 again before Motley Crue. But I'm super into it, obviously.
But so they like they did that, like did everything, and then he was like, all right, I'm done. Whereas like aforementioned Blink-182 Scott Rainer, I mean, I know his situation was a bit different. He kind of got like asked to leave the band kind of thing, but it's like, I always think about that all, especially like stuff like this, when they release a new album and it's like, man, what is he thinking? Where it's like, oh, my old band went on to become like one of the biggest bands of all time.
Yeah.
And I just had to sit there and watch.
I watched speaking of Scott Rainer, I found an interview with him. Like, he did an AMA or something like that. And he was talking about, somebody asked him about residuals, and he goes, to be honest, getting residuals from the early Blink albums is still pretty nice. I'm like, I bet it is, man. But like, you really missed the rise.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Although, to be fair, who knows if the band would get as big without Travis, all that shit. But.
Well, I don't think it would have, which is like, that's one of those things, like butterfly effect, right? Where like, sure, he's got to drop out of the band, Travis has got to join, and then they fucking shoot to the fucking moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, how's your beer doing?
Oh, I'm Dunsky's.
I'm done too.
We're
so
finished.
At 2 hours in, I think we're going to wrap it up. I'm starting to get hungry.
Yeah, I could eat.
Yeah, I could eat too. So we're going to wrap this up. I want to give a shout out to Alberta Blue Cross. I want to give a shout out to Trilogy Oilfield Rentals. And I want to give a shout out to the audio department. You are teaching me how to make better audio, and I appreciate you. Go book some studio time at theaudiodepartment.ca. Thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I would like to give a shout out to Chris the intern, because I miss him, and I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, he has a beard now.
Oh, our little man.
Yeah.
A little beardy man.
Yeah. He was actually involved in a sales call for like an ad deal hopefully are doing.
Oh, awesome.
Nothing's done yet, but he was involved in it. And cool. He was kind of the one that ultimately pushed it forward.
Sure.
Because he was on the inside. So
he's got connections. Oh, you know, it all comes full circle. Huh?
It is weird. He's like the marketing manager for, I think, like all of Alberta or Western Canada or something.
Oh,
like he's really advanced. Yeah.
Good for him.
We went for coffee not long ago. Weird.
Oh, he hasn't invited me out for coffee. Huh? Weird. Anyway.
The funny thing is he lives, I'm not going to say where I live, but he lives 5 minutes down the road
really?
From here.
No
yeah.
Shit.
And I go, let's go for dinner or something. Yeah. Like he goes, yeah. But it's one of those ones where, let's go for dinner. Let's go for a drink. And you're like, all right, I'll see you in 3 years or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a married man. He's got a dog. You know, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, he does. He does. Well, it's time for us to go eat. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Appreciate you being here. It's funny that, 2 hours in before I go, what do you want to talk about? Like, I got to try and fill an hour.
What should we get to?
No, we got to it all. There you go. Thanks for listening. I will be back maybe later this week. Probably not. We'll see. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Have a great Happy New Year's, everybody.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.